State your name.
Nemo?
Brother Bloat, proceed.
Nemo, newcomer of orange and white, you have been called forth to the summit of Mount Wanahakalugi to join with us in the fraternal bonds of tankhood.
Huh? We want you in our club, kid.
Really?
If you are able to swim through the Ring of Fire!
Turn on the Ring of Fire.
The Ring of Fire.
No. You said you could do it.
The Ring of Fire!
From this moment on, you will now be known as Sharkbait.
Sharkbait! Ooh-ha-ha! Ha.
Welcome, Brother Sharkbait!
Sharkbait! Ooh-ha-ha! Ha.
Enough of the sharkbait!
Sharkbait! Ooh-bop-ba-doo!
You're listening to Nowhere Mulberry. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find...
Something, something.
Go crazy?
Don't mind if I do!
Spike, the bosun brain with a marlin spike and the cookie's throat.
was marked belike. It had been gripped by fingers 10, and there they lay, all good dead men, like break of day in a snoozing den.
Yo, ho, ho, and a bottle of rum.
15 men of them stiff and stark.
Yo, ho, ho, and a bottle of rum.
10 of the crew had the murder mark.
Yo, ho, ho, and a bottle of rum.
Must kill family.
Television! Teacher! Mother!
Secret lover. Urge to kill. Fading. Fading. Fading.
Rising!
Fading. Fading. Gone. Come, family. Sit in the snow with Daddy and let us all bask in television's warm, glowing, warming glow.
It's the Tony Awards with your hosts, Tyne Daly and Hal Linden.
Change channel.
Kent Frozen.
Ah! Urge to kill rising.
Woohoo! Yeah, baby! Woohoo! Boom goes the dynamite! Hello, everyone. It's time for Nowhere in Mulberry. Welcome to the show. It's Friday. It's time to do the show, I think. We took a couple of weeks off. It's time to get back down to business. Right, Steven the Pop Culture Zealot?
That's right.
And Baby the Dog? What's up, fools? Fellas? I got nothing. We also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian.
Hello.
It was so funny when, you know, you, like, prepare everything for the show and at the last minute, and then Bill's like, maybe you should call me on Skype. And I'm like, oh, yeah. There's always something I'm forgetting.
Yeah, and I wasn't sure, like, if that was your plan or what. I was no. Like, what is he doing?
In the back of my head, I'm like, going through a checklist. There's something I'm forgetting.
You're like, you messaged me, you go, intro's going. I was like, okay.
Oh, yeah, that's when I forgot. Well, it's nice to talk to you guys. How's it going? We haven't done a show for 2 weeks, I'd say.
Yeah.
2 weeks?
Yeah, about 2 weeks.
It's been a while since you've seen Baby. And
she's going nuts as usual.
She was sitting in your lap licking your face, and I said, she's basically making out with you, Steven. She loves you that much. Why doesn't she love me as much as she does you? I don't get it. It's my dog.
You feed her.
I feed her. I pet her. What? I clothe her.
You're clothe her. To her.
That's why she hates you.
I put her in outfits, put her in hats.
You have to disappear for like a week or two and then come back and she'll be crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll walk in the door.
Steven's just hiding dog treats in his pocket.
Yeah.
It's like that episode
underwear.
Of SpongeBob where Gary liked Patrick better, and SpongeBob's heartbroken, but it turns out Patrick has a cookie in his pocket. And
cookie.
He's like, oh. Well, guys, welcome to the show. It's nice to have someone listening in the chat room. Let's see. KC1. Hey, buddy. KC. What's up? And that's pretty much it. We're an awesome show. Man, if we got ratings, it would be the worst live ratings ever.
0.0.
It's like, wow, we're canceled quickly. But, you know, we deserved it. Bill, we've been playing Guild Wars 2.
You've been playing MMO. I've been dabbling.
Yes. Well, Bill, I'd like to thank you. You sent me the game as a lovely present.
Well, I didn't want to play it alone.
It's awesome. You know, one thing that's cool about the game that I've learned is one thing is there's no monthly fee. It's just free to play. I mean, you buy the game, then you can play it. It's an MMO with lots of other people, and they don't charge you for it.
No, they make their money on microtransactions.
Yeah, and the game, the beauty of it is you don't ever have to buy any of that.
No, you
don't. To play and have fun.
You can actually earn that stuff if you, you know, work hard enough and get the dailies and all that stuff.
Right. And I guess it's to buy extra stuff that's kind of fun or clothes.
Well, and you can buy gems, and then you can convert your gems to gold so that you can buy better stuff on the trading post, or you can buy goofy shit like boxing outfits or aviator sunglasses.
Yeah, that's silly. But the game is a lot of fun. You know, I'd heard about the first Guild Wars but never played it, mainly because I was... I thought it was another Warcraft type of game, which
Guild Wars was always in my mind as kind of like EverQuest. Do you remember those games?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I'd see people buying EverQuest games and be like, nerds.
Well, it's like World of Warcraft. Everyone was playing it, and I played it for a bit, but I was like, I can't get into this shit.
No, it's too cartoony.
Well, I mean, it just, you have to go to different quests, and I just didn't care. I
honestly never cared about the stories. Like, they never grabbed me. It never engaged me.
It never got my interest. But what's cool about Guild Wars 2 is it has all the stuff you can do, and you can just wander around and do stuff.
Yeah, you really don't even have to get that deep into the main storyline. Like,
yeah, you have your own character storyline, but you don't have to do it if you want to. You could just start walking around and exploring, and you get...
You can level crafting and just doing those heart quests for karma.
Yeah, and you get XP to do anything in the game.
You know what pissed me off?
What?
Last night, around 2 a.m., I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give Guild Wars a little shot before I go to bed. So I kick on my Jack Reacher book and load up Guild Wars. And I'm like, hey, I'm close to that place where Jason showed me where that jump puzzle is. So let me see if I can do it on my own. So I get there and I'm like, oh my gosh, look, there's the, you know, I go through the whole rigmarole, jump from one side to the other, jump in here, jump in there. And I see this gigantic chest down in this area. I'm like, oh, there it is. And I jump down in the hole, and I'm like, oh, there's some veteran troll guy here. Okay, I'm going to have to kill him first. And I'm attacking him, and I'm attacking him, and it says invulnerable, invulnerable, invulnerable. I'm like, oh, okay, well, maybe it's just a bug. Maybe I'll just, you know, open up this chest and grab my stuff and go. And I open up the chest, and then the son of a bitch killed me.
Did you get the stuff inside, though?
No!
Ah.
I was so angry after I opened it and I didn't get any of the stuff. I was like, son of a bitch, I'm going to bed.
You know what I've had?
You troll.
I've tried to, like, loot grab with guys that are too powerful. Just run up and open the chest and get the stuff.
Yeah.
And I know they're going to kill me, but as long as I get the stuff, it doesn't matter.
I was so surprised by being attacked because I honestly thought it was a bug. I thought, like, maybe he was stuck.
Well, sometimes if it says invulnerable, it's because you're too far away, and if you get closer, then you can damage
him. No, I was right up on top of him. I was, like, on his head.
Firing down at him? Yeah, sometimes it'll do that. Like, you have to be on the same level to fight him or something?
No, I was like, right there. I was right next to him. I was on his level.
Oh.
He just doesn't react until you open the chest.
Yeah, but I've tried to do that, and my inventory was filled, and I didn't realize it.
That's,
so
you know what? Shit, that's why I couldn't get it. That's why I couldn't loot it. My inventory was full.
The bag is red, and you can't fill it up. But the game is a lot of fun.
I knew as I was going there, I was killing those things that look like they're out of Zelda, those blobby things.
Mm-hmm, the ooze.
And I was trying to loot them, and it said inventory full, and I was like, oh, I better empty this. Oh, no, wait, I gotta, you know, I'll just get to the chest first.
Oh, yeah, I'm always doing that where I'm sending materials away, or I'm opening bags and all that kind of crap.
You know, you just said it. I should have opened up my inventory, and I should have sold what I could on the trading post from right. That's great. I love that I can just open up my inventory, right-click it, choose sell on trading post, and not have to actually go to a trading post vendor.
Right.
That rules. I mean, there's so many cool little innovations in this game that I'd never seen in any other MMOs that just make it so much more pleasant to play.
And I love the, what do you call them, the events.
Yeah.
Where you just say, there's an event nearby and some giant troll is attacking a farm and you could run over there. And what's cool is, like, the Old Republic, when we'd play that, it felt like a single-player game. Like, sometimes, hey, Bill, how's it going? Oh, cool. Okay, you're going that way. I'm going this way. That's what it felt like, you know?
Yeah, because our classes didn't interact.
Yeah, you had to stay on your rails of your storyline. But in this, like, when there's an event nearby of a giant troll, like, everybody in the vicinity runs over there, and there's, like, 50 people all fighting this troll. And it's pretty awesome. And
it gets to the point where you can't even tell what the hell is going on. Yeah, there's so many attacks.
I've had that so many times where I'm like, what the hell is going on? You're just fighting and stuff. But what's cool is one thing I've encountered in this game, whenever I die, someone is always there to res you and bring you back.
Almost always, yeah.
It's always really cool how that happens. And one thing is I'm a ranger and you can have pets and stuff. And I've even had people revive my pets. But I think they fixed that, though. They actually did an update where other people can't revive your pets. Because apparently people thought it was annoying when they were trying to revive a player. And your pet would be in the way and they'd be reviving that instead. So only a ranger can revive a pet now. But before I was like, oh, that's pretty nice of them. They're healing my bear or something. But I'm having fun playing Ranger. It's
a
lot of fun.
You get XP whenever you do it, too. So it's actually sort of beneficial to both parties.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the graphics are gorgeous. You know, when I was talking about, I went to that Lion's Arch place and just looked for every waypoint and vista. There's these vistas where you stand somewhere and you just do a big 360 view of the surrounding. And it's really gorgeous. And there was one point where I did one on a mountain, and the camera panned up, and it looked like a mouth in the mountain. I was like, what the hell? That looks like a mouth. And I walked over, like it had teeth, and I walked over, and you hear like, ha, 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 and I was like, whoa, what the hell?
A laughing mountain.
So I was like, I'm going to jump in. And when I jumped in, you heard like a scream like, ah! As you're sliding down a slide. And then I went, boom, right into like a stalactite and died instantly. I was like, ah, shit. So I went all the way back up there, and I was like, well, I'm going to try it again. And I jumped in, and it was like, ah! And I go, poof, instantly died. I was like, damn it. And there's like nobody around because I'm not hitting the bottom. I'm like getting caught up on the sides. So yeah. I was like, I'm going to try it one more time because I know there's something down there. It's like an invitation to go in there. So I finally did, slid all the way to the bottom, reached the bottom, went, poof, and instantly died. But someone was down there who rezzed me. I was like, oh, thank God. So you're walking around and you hear this, oh, you found my grave site. You're here for my gold. And he's like, I'll tell you which way to go. And you have to do this puzzle. It's like a maze. And I was stuck in there forever, Bill. I was like, what the hell do you do?
Yeah, but it sounds cool.
It is really cool. And there's even rooms with spikes that come out of walls and stuff, like booby traps. And I was like, holy shit, this thing. But I want to take you over there to find that.
All right, I got to do that jump puzzle again tonight, though, before I go to bed.
Is that the one? Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. I need to go there with you because I still haven't gotten that. There's always one jump I missed.
Because the first time you took me, you're like, okay, you got to do this. And it's that damn plank. There's this one jump where this plank is like in the middle of a chasm.
Yeah, I know exactly.
It's so easy to overshoot it.
There's one jump that I always miss, and it pisses me off.
Because then you have to go, you have to basically just res back at the last waypoint and work your way all the way back up.
I did this one puzzle. The game has jump puzzles where you have to jump from ledge to ledge to ledge, and you get up somewhere, and you get XP, or there's a treasure chest or something. And it's a lot of fun, but at the same time, it's frustrating as hell.
Very.
And there's a lot of things in the game that are really cool like that, like puzzles and stuff like that. You could even go through the game without even fighting anything. Have you noticed that a lot of the little quests say, kill so-and-so or plant these? Or, you know, there's always a peaceful way to do it also.
You could kill centaurs or disarm their traps.
Yeah, and there's always something really goofy. Like I was telling you yesterday, I had to burrow into something in a small hole to find these mushrooms.
Yes, I did that too. Is it the pig thing where they turn you into a pig?
It's exactly like that, where you get turned into a pig. But in this, I get shrunk down to a little person. So I'm a tiny version of myself running around with spiders, and I've got my bear there who's like big size. So I like took a picture of it because I thought it was hilarious because I'm like little tiny guy. But I've done that where you turn into the pig. That was hilarious.
Yeah, even the dialogue on that is funny because you're going through, like, how can I help? And they're like, well, you can. I need you to get into these burrows and get these truffles. And they're like, well, I'll just perform pig magic on you. And you go, wait, what, pig magic? And then you just turn into a pig.
Yeah, that's hilarious. It's fun. It's a fun game.
It is.
It's definitely a time suck.
I think the worst thing about the jump puzzles is I get really tense. In my mouse, I have this Razer Naga Epic, and it's like a wireless mouse, but it has numbers 1 through 12 on the left side of it where my thumb is, so that I can, like, without having to use my keyboard, I can quickly jump and hit the button with my thumb.
Uh-huh.
And I'll, like, grip my mouse tighter when I'm doing the jump puzzles, and like I was going for the jump, that ledge jump for the board, and I like hit 5 while I was doing it, like, ooh! And I committed like to some attack and went flying off.
Uh-huh.
So it's like I have to like relax myself.
Oh, you know how you
really
can
slowly and keep my thumb away from the side of my mouse.
You can roll forward or backwards if you double tap the keys, and I've done that while like trying to gently move. Where I'll roll and I go no, and you just fall off. I'm like, damn it! I've done that, but we're on the Gate of Madness server. If anyone wants to pick up the game, it's free to play. There's no monthly charge. You just buy the game and you play it, and you can play with us. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's fun, and, you know, we always take more. It's just me and you. I joined a guild of my friends that live in Pittsburgh, but they all have crazy hours, and they're almost never on. I think there's only 9 of us in it, so I'm always alone. And they haven't made me the where I can invite people yet, so you're not in it yet. So maybe we can do something
rejection
on our own if enough people start playing.
I'm like, why haven't I got invited to the guild yet? Because
no one's ever on when we're on.
I know. I'm like all alone.
I guess you have to be online whenever they invite you.
What's cool about the game also is I've been playing solo, but I don't have that lonely feeling, you know, you do on some MMOs after all.
Yeah, and I think
it's pretty cool. I mean,
the part that has to do with like the event thing where it always feels like the world is active.
Yeah, there's people everywhere. There's people everywhere in front of crafting stations and just the world looks really cool in the
different
places.
There's also people like jumping in to do the same attack and everything. It's fun.
If I have a question about something, I just ask, and usually someone answers you immediately, and it's always helpful.
It's very little, like, smart alecky
like cynicism,
yeah.
You know what's funny is the company that does that, ArenaNet, they ban people easily for saying, you know, using bad language and stuff. And I was reading the Reddit on there where you could go and ask, hey, why was I banned? What did I do? And they would put the quote of what you said. And it would say, usually it would deal with calling someone different gay slurs or racial slurs. And the person would go, oh, okay, I understand now. Because you know, it'd be like, well, you called people this. And they'd go, hey, you F and N-word queer bait sons of bitches. I hope your family dies. And they go, well, that's why you're banned. I'm sorry. You're not allowed to play the game anymore. Okay, I understand.
Yeah, go out and pay $60 again. Sorry.
And there was this, did you hear about this? Like, if you go to a karma vendor, you earn karma points by doing heart quests or whatever. There was a bug where some of the weapons were way cheap, like super cheap. So people were buying them in the thousands. Like, oh, I'm going to buy a whole bunch of these. I'm going to flood the market with them and sell them, make all this money. Well, that's basically an exploit. So people got banned for it. And they said anyone who did over 50, they went ahead and banned. And it was like over 3,000 people. And
wow.
And one guy on Reddit said, I don't understand why I bought a couple, but I don't understand why I was banned. I didn't do anything that bad. And the guy said, you bought 400 weapons. And he was
like, I love how they try to underplay it. Like, they're really going to get away with it.
I love that they can just look it up and they go, no, you bought 400. And he's like, oh, okay, I guess I know where I'm being.
Well, I guess I did exploit it.
Yeah. And I was just, I'm pissed that I didn't notice it. I probably would have bought one weapon, you know, for myself. That would have been cool.
I'll look at that stuff, but there's never anything there that I'm like, oh, you know, that's worth 400 karma. You know, it just, I have yet to really buy anything from them.
I've mostly bought those, what do you call those things that are like +8 vitality or something like that? What do you call those little things you put on your character to add a little bit of bonus points?
Oh, yeah.
Power or strength.
Upgrades.
Yeah. I guess all MMOs have those, but they call it, it's funny because like the Trading Post or like the Auction House, they all have different names, but everyone just calls them the same.
What was the Star Wars?
Was it the Galactic Trade?
Galactic Trade Network, yeah.
Yeah. All right, we have two voicemails. Let's go ahead and check them out. The first one is from Ross. Hey, Ross, what up?
Hi, Noah and Mulberry. This is Ross. I'm just calling to tell you that last episode, it was a tough one for me. I'm not going to lie. I was, first off, threatened with physical violence by Bill for liking the audiobook of Ready Player One as read by Will Wheaton. And also then I was referred to as ass by, I believe it was Bill again, when he got our names confused. And I just want to say to Bill after that, Bill, what are your crimes? Out of Jenna Elfman's playbook, what are your crimes, Bill? Have you ever murdered a homeless man? Or have you ever quoted Will Wheaton, an article that was written to him, why Adam shouldn't be so excited about the Coney 2012 video or whatever?
Oh, yes!
What are your crimes, Bill? Because I never quoted Will Wheaton on Facebook, all right? But I believe you had. I remember that. Other than that, guys, I just wanted to say that I really enjoy the show, and I liked the Dark Knight, Dark Knight Rises podcast extravaganza. I do think that Bill had some good points, but one thing that I was thinking, the whole idea of all the cops going down into the, you know, the cellar or whatever, the sewer, I was just thinking that if Osama bin Laden or someone of his like was down there, I think that they probably would send everybody after him, especially if they had an army, because it was like a reactionary period where they haven't like had anything like this for the past 7 years. And so they're going to send everybody because they're overreacting. That wasn't that far-fetched for me. Other than that, I the other day was on eBay looking for an autographed picture of all four Golden Girls for my cousin's Christmas gift because she absolutely loves that. And apparently that is like a very rare, hard-to-find artifact. I was able to settle for a B. Arthur signed by herself, but to get all four signatures was very tough. So it made me wonder, what is your guys' like ultimate pop culture or memorabilia autograph that you guys would love to have, aside from like Will Wheaton napkin that was used and signed by Will Wheaton for Bill, because I'm sure he already has that. Aside from that, what is yours? For me, it would be a first edition copy of The Stand. I think that would be awesome. Sweet. What do you guys have to have? Let me know about it. I would really love to. Keep going with the show. It was wonderful. It was even fun to hear you guys like disagree. Have a good one, guys. I'll talk to you later. As Sean says, love you. Bye.
Oh, love you too, Ross. Why is it so entertaining when we disagree, Bill?
I don't know. I guess they just they like conflict.
I guess that's what it is. It's like Jerry Springer.
Yeah.
You ain't all that. You ain't all that.
Did I really call Ross an ass?
I have no idea. I have bad memory lately.
That doesn't sound like me.
I don't know what he's referencing. It must have been something a while back. I do know.
I think the one thing he's referencing is actually an article that was on the Daily What. I did not reference Will Wheaton. Will Wheaton
the Daily
wrote it.
What?
But I thought it was. I agreed with him. It was. You know. It's it was like faux Tivist fad. It was just, I mean, come on, how long did the Coney 2012 shit last, honestly?
I like that faux Tivist, like activist, but faux Tivist.
Yeah, it
never understood what any of that was about. I didn't look at it. There's so much.
It's about a guy that would collect up kids, basically, like kill villages, keep the kids, put guns in the kids' hands, and then say, go out and do my bidding.
Right, okay.
He's an asshole.
Well, watch out, Steven, watch out. Okay.
But it was just, and then the guy goes, the Coney guy goes crazy and goes running around, what was it, San Diego naked.
Whenever I hear that name Coney, all I can think of is Coney Island, like hot dogs.
Well, all I can think of is Coney dog, because when I lived in Detroit, that was huge, like a Coney dog. Just
Coney Island hot dog. Because if people are activists for hot dogs and stuff, man, I'm on board. Love hot dogs.
I'll eat it without the bun.
Like Conan O'Brien.
I can't really handle buns anymore, so just give me the hot dog with the meat.
But you know what's funny is the Will Wheaton thing. I saw recently someone asked him, why do you always play a jerk? It's like your thing now. And he pretty much explained, it's in my wheelhouse. It's what I'm good at. That's just what I do. Well, the times that I didn't do that, I think that I didn't get as many parts. So now he plays kind of like, he's kind of a jerk, a smart-ass jerk, and that's his thing.
But that's like how he comes across anyways.
Because I wonder that, because, you know, he does that thing called, the thing about the board games, tabletop.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he introduces it, he goes, today we're going to do a game. And it's a game that's very interesting. And I'm going to tell you all about it. And my guests are these people. But the way he talks like this, it's so annoying. You know?
That's his thing. I would love to see what he's like outside of a camera.
Yeah.
Seems like that's his go-to thing is talk.
He just does a shtick all the time.
He's pushing a personality.
When he's on camera, you think he's doing shtick.
And I want him just to be normal, because that's got to be exhausting.
That's my main problem with him, is he just always comes across as this, like, hoity dickhead. Just like, I know more than you, and I enjoy it more than you ever will. Yeah, so
I think he's doing an act, but I've never seen him not doing it.
I mean, even just, I couldn't listen to the audiobook of Ready Player One. One, because it's the sort of thing that it lives in your mind. Mm-hmm. So reading the words on a page create more vivid images in your mind, but just the way he freaking reads it. If I had to hear him say Pozor one more time,
he enunciates.
I would have blown my iPod.
He's meticulous about his enunciation, and I think it grates. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
he's just that. He's the geeky kid from high school that you had similar interests, but he was just such a massive douchebag that you just couldn't be friends with him.
Yeah.
You tried, I mean, but you just couldn't.
I know I've said it before. I mean, I don't dislike him the way you do, but I understand why you don't like him. Do you know what I mean?
I don't like him. It's just that he's just great, like you said.
You don't like his persona he's putting out there.
Exactly.
It's like when you hear him talking, it's like,
once you get to know him, then you can dislike
rising.
Him.
Yeah, exactly. If I knew him on a personal level,
urge to kill rising,
didn't have to deal with his bullshit. It's the same with that Felicia Day, the whole thing with the... she tries so hard to sell herself as geeky.
I actually don't agree with you on that. I think she seems like a nice person. You have a problem with the people who are fans of somebody, not herself, I think.
I think maybe you're right.
She was a little-known actress that created a show or a web show that became very popular. I mean, it's good for her.
Yeah, absolutely. But I agree.
You get sick of, and I do too, the way that, I think it's tough for a woman also, and it's not her fault or a lot of women's fault, which is you have to pander somewhat to this geek audience. It's your bread and butter, man. It's your wheelhouse. guys are like, oh man, a hot chick and she likes video games just like I do. But the problem is that there's not so many of those kind of chicks around, and guys kind of put them up on a pedestal, and that's all you hear about. And after a while, you get sick of hearing about that person. But yeah. I don't think it's her fault.
No, but she's not, you know, she's not doing anything to prevent it. Or, you know, but again, that's how she gets
Why
picked.
Would she? She's found her niche. I mean, she
Yeah,
found
I mean, hell, she has a whole YouTube network dedicated to it.
Yeah, and she's got her own show that she writes. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Good for her. But it's just, you're right. It's more the people that put themselves on that person. Like kind of like the whole thing whenever Joss Whedon had his deal with, like, brown coats and all that. It's like, they can't just
be fans.
Yeah,
you have no problem with Joss
Whedon.
They have
to be obsessive fans.
Yeah, and then you start to roll your eyes at those people, but it's like, I don't really have a problem with Joss Whedon. It's just all that shit.
Yeah.
Kind of, you get sick of hearing about it. It's like things. It's like top 40 radio. A song gets pounded into your brain where you hate it.
And you sour on it. Like it just doesn't. Yeah, absolutely.
But that's what it is. It happens on the internet too with everything now, where it's just like, oh God, I don't want to read any more about this.
Yeah, it's just so much saturation that it's like you have to pull back.
Yeah, and it's same with a movie. Like sometimes it doesn't work on us.
Yeah,
like, we will like something, but we, on the outside, we see, oh, look, everyone's turning on that movie. Mm-hmm. That's so stupid. Or you see it happen, you know, like the backlash. And I think that's sometimes that happens. And it doesn't mean, you know, anyone's right or wrong, but it's like just something we do. And it's like, I think Felicia Day is very cute, and she's a writer. She writes her material. I watched The Guild, and while I thought some was funny, we've talked about it this before, but I thought some of it was mean-spirited, and I got turned off by it, even though, hey, good for her. She has the show. I'd love to do, like, we have a web show that takes off or whatever.
Sure.
It's cool.
I just, you know, it's not my kind of comedy, and I
but also
that YouTube editing style. That were like, you say a line, cut, new cut. You know,
what about just Will Wheaton's character on The Guild? That's like
I've never gotten that far in it.
He's total douchebag, and he's playing that kind of character.
You know what? I did see an episode where I guess there was like a photo of them created, like on Velvet or something, and he dumped her because he was with someone else in another guild or something. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's stuff that's funny, but also it's all just...
It's too geeky.
Is it easy to write mean-spirited humor? I don't know.
I think it is.
I've watched sitcom... You know, remember that Charlie Sheen sitcom that everyone seems to love, Two and a Half Men? I always thought it was mean-spirited. They're so mean to a John Cryer's character.
That's that guy's style of comedy that I can't even remember. Chuck Lorre?
Yeah.
Every one of his shows is mean shit.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
baby,
it's just
you're
the
outside.
Way it is.
Baby, it's been raining, and she went outside, and she came in and rubbed against my leg. It's all wet now.
Ew,
what are you doing
wet
out
dog
there?
Stink.
All right, Bill, we have another voicemail, this one from Rick. Hey, Rick. He was on a whirlwind tour, wasn't he?
He really was. He went all over the place. Now he's posting videos.
That's pretty cool. Let's check it out.
Hey, guys. It's Ricky. So I'm back in Australia. It's great. It's great to be back. Sleeping in my own bed. Lying in my own bed at the moment, actually. It's pretty nice. I thought I'd shoot a voicemail off on the off chance that you're actually doing a show. But who knows? It's a mystery. So I listened to episode 261, 262, and I loved them. They were great to have a couple of episodes back-to-back to listen to. And it was good to hear you guys again after my 4 weeks away. So, yeah. Thanks for your show. It's always good to hear your voice. What have I got in the world of... And it's not brand new anymore, but Max Payne 3. I've been playing that game. I've finished it on the hardest possible level, and then it opened a couple more hard levels, and I finished it on the hardest level. It's just such a great game. I haven't had so much fun in ages. It's just Max Payne character. I first played it when it first came out. I just like how he's got so old and like crotchety and just too old for this shit almost. He's a real fun character. And the game itself is really, really great. I thoroughly enjoyed it. So if you like the other Max Paynes and weren't sure about this one, definitely get it because it's better and it's really nice. And it's really long too, especially if you play it on hard. It's not the kind of game you finish in a couple of hours. So, yeah, check that out. And, Max Payne 3, get on to that. Anyway, that was it. Nice, quick, short voicemail. Just get on with the rest of the show and stop listening to me, because you should be getting on to other more important things, like entertainment or other things. I don't remember how the show goes. I remember everything about you. just something that cracked me up on one of the shows, can't remember which one it was, that you were talking about baby and how you get like a taste of your blood, and then Stephen was like, yeah, you wake up tomorrow morning with like your throat chewed out. Yeah, it just cracked me up. It just went to that level, like, oh, nip you on the finger, and then you get your neck chewed out. That's great. Cracked
yeah,
me
that
up.
Was hilarious.
Well done. bye, guys. This is Rick from Australia. Okay, sorry.
All right, thanks, Rick. Sorry about the baby noise in the background. Bill, did you play the Max Payne 3 game?
I did. The writing was freaking tremendous on it. I don't know how close I was to the end before my hard drive crashed and I lost the save.
Oh, shit.
But I know I was very, very close because the conspiracy was coming all together. So I just haven't had a chance to re-download it on Steam. I think Steam does a cloud save, so hopefully my save is somewhere in the cloud and I can just reinstall it and start from there. But holy shit, is that game freaking hard.
Oh,
like, if you don't... The learning curve on the whole Max Payne bullet time thing was massive for me. Like, they throw so many bad guys at you at one time, and you have to know exactly when to use that bullet time and...
Urge to kill, rising.
Yeah, and to take them out in the right way and everything. It just... I die so many times during that game. I don't know how Rick played it on the hardest level. He's a better man than I am.
When I played the first one, I thought it was hard as hell.
It continues that, but it's great. Like, the story goes to so many crazy places.
Do you remember in Max Payne, the first one, where you have to jump on this goddamn subway train?
Mm-hmm.
Like, off
mm-hmm.
a
watching
roof?
You.
And I would die repeatedly. It's like, God damn it, don't have a flirt. Just throw the friggin' controller across the room. Damn
it made me laugh that... remember the first game, there was that really strange hallucinatory moment where you're, like, running through the maze of the house and all that?
In Max Payne?
Yeah, in the original.
The dream sequence, yeah.
Yeah, and of course, there's one of those in this one, but
there's
it's
invisible
like
holes where you just fall to your death.
Yeah, well, it's not that bad in Max Payne 3, but you're doing a shootout in a, what is it? It's a graveyard. And it's just, it's really, really bizarre. It's just, the game...
Okay.
Rockstar knows how to write a game and, like, unsettle you. Like, it just, it's really well done. And he's coked up and pilled up. And...
Max Payne is on coke?
Well, he's on painkillers and speed and what else? Oh, booze. He's in Venice. I think it's Venezuela doing, like, he's basically like a mercenary now.
I actually drink Diet Coke, and I actually sell it.
Okay.
All right, well, good for you, Tom.
No TV and no beer make Homer something something.
Exactly. Oh, you something, know what I just something. Remembered? One thing we forgot to mention about Guild Wars 2. When you are a higher level and you go into a lower level, the game automatically makes you a lower level, so you can still play like with other people in a lower area.
Yeah, it scales you down to that area. That's great.
Which
because
is
then
really
whenever
cool.
you have friends that are way above you, you can go play with them.
Also, there's starter areas for each species, and you could actually go there and play in those areas and not.
Yeah,
be
my friend Noah was doing that, and we joined him. And,
yeah, I stayed
that
in that
really
area,
cool, like plant person, like Na'vi area.
Yeah, I stayed in that area and just completed the whole map. And it was.
I should have went back there and did that. Maybe I still can.
There's the jump puzzle there. Will make you rip your hair out. All right, well, that's our voicemail for the evening. Let's go ahead and do entertainment! Woohoo! When is Paul W.S. Anderson going to stop making movies, Bill?
When someone finally assassinates him.
Resident Evil Retribution. What? Ugh. The last... There was like a free Stars weekend or something. And the Resident Evil, the last one that came out, I was trying to watch it. It's so goddamn bad. It yeah. can't even hold my interest. Like, I tried to watch it.
The last one I watched was the Vegas one.
Because it's the kind of thing where you're like, oh, cool, badass action scene or something. There's no substance. Your brain yeah. can't stay interested.
Yeah, I've tried to watch them, too.
There's no reasoning behind any of it. It's just... Mm-hmm. Freaking there.
And I don't understand any of it either. Do you? The plots? I don't
understand the plots of any of the Resident Evil games, so it should be just as appropriate that the movies make no sense.
Yeah, so I see this new one out, and Michelle Rodriguez is back alive in it. I'm like, okay.
Was she in the first one? Like
yeah,
the
she
bear?
Was the first one and became a zombie and got shot in the head. So
it's got to be all a dream.
It's just a
and
dream.
And then when
it
you see him on, like, Face Off, it's just like, dude, just go away.
Oh, I know.
Like, this is so asymmetrical. Well, unlike your films.
This doesn't make any sense. Oh, okay. You would know about that. But one thing I'm excited about is Judge Dredd 3D comes out next week.
I don't know. I'm really hesitant on it after watching The Raid.
I don't...
Because it is The Raid.
Oh, okay. I got confused there for a second. That's a foreign Asian action movie, right?
Yeah, it's where a group of cops go into a building and they have to fight their way up level by level to get to the boss who's at the top. And that's what Dredd is.
I don't know, but it looks pretty cool, man. And
yeah, it does look cool. I'm just gonna let myself like fall into it.
They take some kind of drug that slows everything down, like.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is that trailer. Count how many times you hear. I
you
love
got
it.
To test that bass out.
But what I love it is I keep reading that Carl Urban, he is Judge Dredd, and he never takes the mask off the helmet.
Awesome.
Because. In the comic book, Judge Dredd is this character. He never takes a helmet off. You never see his face. And, you know, when they made the Sylvester Stallone movie, of course, he's like, let me take my helmet off. Look, I'm Sylvester Stallone. It's like, no, it doesn't work.
I'm waiting for the episode of Ain't It Cool where Harry Knowles has Carl Urban on. And Carl Urban says, yeah, I was reading, you know, 2000 AD when it first came out, and I fell in love with the character. And Harry Knowles goes, no, I read 2000 AD before it even came out.
Yeah, I actually have the unprinted number one copy. Now, Billy, you saw Robot and Frank, that movie I really did.
I went all the way into Columbus to the Gateway Film Center, which is right on OSU campus and which is a massive freaking dump. OSU campus is quite possibly one of the filthiest campuses I've ever been on. I was going through this area, this gateway area, and you park in the parking garage and you kind of go through this area where there's all these little restaurants and Wi-Fi and all this stuff for the college students. And it's nice, except for all these stinky homeless people asking people for money.
Ugh.
Like, I was walking to the theater, and this guy who I could smell from 20 feet away goes, hey, brother, you got any change to spare? And I was like, no, I don't. And it was so... And then you get into the theater, and they have garbage bags over the seats.
You should have invited him to the movie.
Huh?
Should have invited him to the movie with you.
Yeah. Oh my God. I don't think I could deal with that stench.
Do you remember that story? I don't know if you guys Tony Romo. He was going to the movies, and this guy was panhandling, and he goes, "Hey, you want to come to the movie with me?" And he was like, "Okay." And he took him to see Role Models. Remember that movie?
Oh, my God.
And everyone was like, "Wow, what a great guy." But I kept thinking, God, I bet that guy smelled horrible.
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, the stench was so bad. I can't even explain to you how far away I could smell this guy. When he was coming towards me, I was like, yep, that's who stinks.
Yeah, you just pay his way into a different movie.
Yeah, so I go into this theater. It's the first time I was ever there because they're the only ones in town that really kind of show the indie movies.
Right.
And I was shocked because it's a newer building. It's probably only 5 years old at the most. And they've already got garbage bags over the seats. Like, don't sit here. Something happened.
Yikes.
You know, it's like, just so, it made me angry. Like, disrespectful college students. What the hell is wrong with them? Yeah, you've got a nice movie house here, and you treat it like shit?
Bastards.
But the movie's great. I thought it was excellent. It's one of those films that when you see the trailer, you just go, yeah, okay. And it doesn't give the movie away. It just gives little thing that moves the plot along.
It tells
you
the premise.
Idea of him being a cat burglar and that. That's it. But there's so much more to this movie.
Awesome. I can't wait to see it. I'll probably see it on pay-per-view or something like that eventually.
I wanted to talk to you about it so bad. And then it was like, I guess because it's distributed by Samuel Goldwyn Pictures? I don't know who that's a branch of, but they obviously don't do the video on demand like Magnet and Magnolia Pictures and all that.
Someone get Tony Goldwyn on the phone and tell him to get with the times.
Yeah, it's such a great film, and it's really heartfelt and bittersweet and wonderful. I was grinning ear to ear through almost the entire thing. It's just really, and Frank Langella is fantastic, and Peter Sarsgaard, the voice he does for the robot was just wonderful. There's that robotic quality to it. But for some reason, you actually start to care for this faceless thing.
I like how they made it kind of
his voice.
They made it kind of look like that Osimo robot.
Yeah, yeah. And what kind of made me laugh about the whole thing is how light the robot is. Like, you look at it and you think, man, that thing must be really heavy. And they're just picking it up, moving it around and everything. I was like, it's just the world it creates, like, It's the near future, and there's been enough progress that these things exist, but it still feels settled in reality.
Stop her, Steven. She's chewing on the chair. Knock it off, little bastard.
But yeah, no. I can't wait for you to see it. I want to talk to you about it so bad.
Awesome. I got to see it. Now, are you excited to see The Master?
I really am. I want to see it desperately. I was hoping that the other art place here in Columbus would show at the Wexner Center.
Technically, today was The Master's release date, right? It just didn't release.
Yeah, New York, what is it, like New York, L.A., Chicago, the big cities.
Am I the only one who noticed that a Paul W.S. Anderson and a Paul Thomas Anderson movie were released on the same day?
Yeah.
And which should
I see? I don't know where the interview was, but someone asked Paul Thomas Anderson if he's ever met Paul W.S. Anderson.
Did he say anything?
He was very diplomatic about it. Like, yeah, I've never met him, but I know of him. And they're like, have you ever seen any of his films? And he's like, no, I honestly haven't. Like, instead of saying, yes, God, they're horrible, he was really diplomatic about it.
I haven't. I thought his remake of Death Race was an incredible film.
Oh, that cracked me up.
Boogie Nights.
Oh, yeah.
It's his Boogie Nights. Remember, my favorite part of that movie is I forgot the actress's name. Joan, whatever.
You mean Death Race?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought you were talking about Boogie Nights.
No, in Death Race, the renowned
Joan Allen.
Yeah, Joan Allen. renowned actress, fantastic actress. She's in Death Race, and she says, "I invented Death Race." And that's always like, time out. Okay, you invented this? Really? I always thought
she looked too old for how old she is.
Rising.
Like, she's
hot. I like her.
Is she?
Mm-hmm.
I just always thought that she looked much older than she actually is. But I mean,
well,
I don't find her unattractive. It just...
How old is she? What movie are you talking about?
Like in that Contender or even Death Race. I just
the Contender.
Okay, she's 56. Okay, she looks it. Okay,
man, you're such an ageist, man.
I know. I'm horrible.
No,
she's not an unattractive woman. I can understand.
We are going to see Nemo in 3D. I'm going to think we're going to take him to see that.
You know what? I want to hear what it's like because I was considering it.
Yeah, I want to check
that out. I was trying to think, like, when they make those films...
Oh, sorry. What's going on here?
When they make those films in that computer environment, they have to do 3D modeling.
Yeah, they could easily convert it to 3D with no problem.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering if it would be kind of like that flat pop-up book conversion, kind of like the Avengers.
Shark bait.
It would be really kind of vivid and beautiful 3D.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. And it's a great movie, too.
Conversions. When I heard that they were post-converting Pacific Rim, I was just like, no. God,
when,
no.
One thing that I was disappointed in is that Guillermo del Toro, he said that he wasn't interested in doing it in 3D, but he should have filmed that shit in 3D.
Yeah.
It would have been awesome.
Native 3D. I mean, when you see native 3D, it's stunning.
Yeah.
Like, Prometheus was just mind-blowingly stunning cinematography. The depth and the just... It looks real. There's a contour. There's a like a world building quality to it. Whereas with conversion, it's just flat.
Yeah, post conversion, like say Clash of the Titans, like
stunning shade of mud.
Like even you know, as I've watched Avengers, I actually watched Avengers again because it's available from places online.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it comes out here in a week or two. And it's a fun movie. It really is a fun movie. But just, it comes across so much better in 2D.
Right.
Because both times I've seen it in 3D, and it's so muddy.
It was post-conversion.
Yeah, it was post-conversion.
Like,
it just looks flat. You lose so much of the detail.
Whenever people bitch about 3D, it's because they've been turned off because of that shitty post-conversion. But
yeah.
If you see a movie that was filmed in 3D, it's awesome.
Yeah, and, it's and the hell, way they've actually started to raise like the light so that like when I saw Prometheus, I had to keep the glasses on because it didn't look right. It was too bright without the glasses. It actually kind of hurt my eyes. So some theaters are actually pumping enough light through now, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, totally.
So, like, all those excuses, like, oh, it's too dark, oh, it's not colorful enough. Well, guess what? They're making the movies now so that it comes through perfectly.
Right, like, it's getting better.
Paranorman in 3D was so vivid and so gorgeous.
It was gorgeous, wasn't it?
Right, it was a beautiful movie.
I loved
it. So there's, like, really no excuse now.
Yeah. A lot of that complaining is just like, go now.
Yeah.
I can understand the past. But, guys, what do you say we get into what's on our TiVo right now? Woo-hoo! We've got a lot of shows to talk about. A lot of fun shows to talk about. But, first of all, Master Chef finally had its finale. Did you guys get to see it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, what I did is Emma watched like every MasterChef, which I thought was really cute and funny. She goes, "I'm not going to tell you who won, so you're just going to have to watch it." And I skipped
Does
to the...
Does she have a DVR in her room?
Yeah, we have that whole house DirecTV thing where...
She has her own DVR?
Well, it's in our bedroom, so she
That's
watches
awesome.
It
That's awesome. She actually goes in there and watches MasterChef.
She started
I love
watching
that.
Face Off now, too. Which,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I'm like, is any of this scary? She goes, no, it's just makeup. And I'm like, okay, just checking.
Oh my gosh, wouldn't that be awesome if she got into that sort of thing?
She's very crafty, so it's possible. Now, a Master Chef, I was rooting for Christina the entire time.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Same here.
I just thought she was entirely cool. I thought it was so incredible that when the first episode, when they introduce her and she's blind and cooking, I'm like, how is this going to work? Yeah. You know?
Because in past episodes, they've done that, cut the onion, make them perfect squares.
Yeah, and I wonder, how is she going to do that? But luckily, she did have a helper there that would walk her places, because it would just be cruel if they didn't have that, wouldn't it?
And
I think she has a certain spatial awareness. She's she's like Daredevil.
And yeah. To me, she was the only person who never said anything negative about anyone else.
Exactly. I was just going to say that, Stephen. She was completely and totally humble. She never built up her skills higher than they were.
She was always just thankful to be there. Like, I'm so thankful.
Exactly. She was the epitome of the
graciousness.
Yeah, she's just perfect. I loved her. I was so happy when she won.
And that Josh guy, he didn't really talk bad about her, but he would say...
Overly pump himself.
He would be like, I'm going to win this. I'm going to take it all.
He had an arrogance about him. And that's it's like Stephen just said. It was to pump himself up.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're confident, if you're confident in your skills, you don't need to pump yourself up.
One thing I thought was funny in the finale, Bill... When he's putting the lobster in the blender, and Joe's like, "Oh, what is he doing?"
Did you crack up the lobster?
Now, one thing I'm not that smart about food. When Gordon's like, "You've put spring vegetables with summer," and I was like, "What is he talking about?" Did you guys think they were just kind of
seasonal vegetables?
Were they just being ridiculous there?
I think there are certain inconsistencies.
They probably follow rules because if they have a restaurant and what foods are in season or something, what vegetables taste right.
Well, if a food's not in season, it has to come from frozen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, plus, you're dealing with different kind of vegetables. Like, spring vegetables are like avocados.
And Joe's like, this is winter. Winter peas or something? I don't know. Yeah, I was just like, what are they talking about?
No, I think that's a certain level of snobbery. Mm-hmm. But it's because of how much they've dealt with that sort of stuff.
Christina's,
or is it if they promote themselves to cook with fresh stuff?
Yeah, but it's the MasterChef kitchen. It's all
no,
fresh
no, no.
In there.
Them personally.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, in their restaurants,
mm-hmm.
They're not going to combine all those because
the peas from winter
would be flash frozen or whatever.
Right. I mean, Gordon's had a lifetime to do this stuff, so
yeah. And he has a new show over in the UK right now. It's a cookery classes, 30-minute episodes.
Gordon is the most prolific TV personality.
He really
on
is.
Television.
He works his ass off.
I don't know of anyone who has as many television shows that are successful as him. When I read that Hotel Hell renewed for another season, I was like, this guy.
He never sees his family.
He can do anything. He has Kitchen Nightmares, Hell's Kitchen, Master Chef, Hotel Hell. Am I forgetting anything?
I don't know, but while you're thinking, hold that thought. I have to pee so bad.
That's just over here. Now, over there, he's got... I don't know if he's still doing Kitchen Nightmares over there, but he's got the Gordon Behind Bars. He does specials and stuff over there, too, which is really cool. Like, even one year, he had Gordon's Holiday Christmas, where it showed how he prepares Christmas for his family and stuff.
What was the one where he was traveling around the world?
Gordon's Great Escape.
Okay,
and that's all on Netflix too. That I love that show. I thought that was awesome because it was. I was like, this is kind of like what Anthony Bourdain does here, on Travel Channel, and that's pretty much what Gordon's Great Escape is too. I would love for him. I know he can't do it regularly. He has too many other TV shows, But
really,
that's
fills up his year with that,
Yeah.
Like, okay, here's 2 months of hotels. Here's 2 months of MasterChef. 2 months of
Hell's
Kitchen.
Definitely got to plan it out. One thing I love, we talked about Hotel Hell. Hotel Hell seems closest to his British type shows with his narration. They just need to cut down on that loud music that's over.
Yeah, the music is so irritating.
But MasterChef, let's go ahead and play this of the finale, And we'll see how Joe was criticizing his different seasonal vegetables. But you know what? I thought that Christina's pork belly looks so good.
Oh, God, I love pork belly.
I want that dish.
I just got off the phone before the show with the farmer I deal with out here at Spring Hill Farms, and I got half a hog for February.
Whoa.
Pork belly.
Nice. All right, let's check this out.
Oh, is he going to blend that lobster shell?
Oh, shit.
He's going to get all the iodine flavor from the shell and the sauce.
Why is he pureeing his lobster?
What is he doing?
Why would he just crush it?
Why would he do that?
He might be ruining his dish right here.
What?
I know what I'm doing. I put lobster shell in the blender just to extract all the flavors from the lobster. And I'm not really concerned about what everybody else thinks.
That is a technical mistake that might cost him that course.
I'm not leaving here without this title. It's mine.
Did they ever say anything about it later?
I put a lot of finesse into this entree, from the parsnip puree to the perfectly cooked lamb. I think this plate is a winner.
Josh takes an expensive ingredient like rack of lamb. Then I take a cheap ingredient like a pork belly and try to make it a higher dining plate.
Josh.
I cooked the lamb medium rare and just a little drizzle of green curry sauce. I also served it with some spring vegetables, peas and carrots, and parsnip puree at the bottom. Great flavor. Cooked absolutely beautifully. Thank you. But it's a rack of lamb with a sort of light green curry sauce, and then you've served spring vegetables with it. Yes. And so parsnips are winter vegetable. In a professional world, you wouldn't put roasted parsnip puree, which is delicious, by the way, with spring vegetables. So I'm a little bit confused to where we're going with it.
Josh, you've come such a long way. It's beautiful, the way it was presented. It tastes good. I think the curry adds to it. It's used judiciously. Everything on it is top-notch. It is absolutely delicious.
Thanks, Chef.
Spring lamb, summer peas, autumn carrots, winter parsnips.
I love autumn carrots.
I would say, Chef, as the great maestro Antonio Vivaldi, you have captured all four seasons in one stroke. I think that this is an orchestral composition of mythical proportion.
Oh, Jesus, who wrote that shit for him?
The fact that Joe, the food snob himself, loves my
dish. That's quite a compliment.
I'm extremely proud.
I think I need to analyze that to understand
it. Honestly, has been the most difficult, the most compelling decision we've ever had to make in the history of MasterChef. Both of you exceeded our expectations. As you know, there can only be one winner. That winner of $250,000, the unique opportunity to publish the very own cookbook.
Right there on the set with him.
And to get their hands.
You mean the Vince DiCola Orphan Orchestra?
On this title. The winner of MasterChef
is...
Congratulations.
Palate Dogs! I'm gonna shatter glass.
Yes. I was happy for her. I got a little choked up seeing how emotional she got.
I just can't believe it. I'm the master chef. This has been the most amazing experience. Seriously. I'm living proof that dreams come true against all odds. I'm the master chef!
Just once, do you want to see someone win and turn to the other guy and go, "In your face!
You suck!
I'm master chef! You're not! Go F yourself! Woo!" It's like, wow.
Deal with it! He suck really it, bitches!
He wins badly. Wow. Now, Hell's Kitchen, also ended. I was like, man, Gordon's wrapping everything up. And then I see a commercial in 2 weeks, Kitchen Nightmares returns. I was like,
oh, wow.
Fox is like, we can't have Gordon not on the air. Please.
Yeah, we can only have a 2 week break. Yeah,
we have a window with no Gordon Ramsay. We're going to hit the shitter.
Have Gordon.
Yeah. So now Hell's Kitchen. Do you guys remember a couple weeks ago I said Christina? Isn't this lady named Christina also?
I have no idea.
I think it is. If I'm wrong, then you'll correct me. But
Provenza?
Provenza. By the way, Provenza Bill is Lieutenant Provenza on The Closer, who I think I was channeling there. But Provenza, the way the last episode ended, Clemenza, he was like, yeah, I don't want to be here. You know, how dare you guys pick me last? He got picked last for the teams. I did think it was bad that they picked Robin over him. That said something about him. I was like, you're really sweaty, dude.
You're sweating. You're dirty. You're
and
slow.
She's just a dirty lesbian. You're large and actually sweaty.
I still think she's a tweaker also.
Oh, she's got to be. She's
freaking insane.
You don't have hair like that if you're not a tweaker.
Yeah, so
your free base thing in her car listening to Skrillex.
But a couple of weeks ago I said I picked Christina. I thought she could go to the end. You guys were like, no way. Do you guys remember? I don't know. I'm gonna go ahead and give myself credit.
I agreed with you.
No, you said no way. You said no way, Jose.
I said no way. It was because I thought it was someone else, not
the Peppermint Patty girl.
I thought that was going to go.
Yeah, I said.
I thought
do you guys
a three-way chance? It was.
What was that girl's name? Dana. Do you guys think Dana could win? And I think that was like no way. Did you guys see that post where I was like, I realized she's Peppermint Patty. Hey,
that's
Chuck.
That's the one that I thought was Christina, the Peppermint Patty girl.
That's Dana.
Okay, I've watched this season so sporadically because I've just not been entertained by these people. I've been more annoyed. So
it seemed like they were really bad for a long time. Like they didn't even complete a dinner service for the longest time. And Gordon was just like, "Well, got to keep going." And
keep trucking.
Did you notice like when Christina was telling Dana, like, this fish isn't a good starter. She goes, no, it's not. It's fine. Just take it. She's like, what? No.
She's like, no,
take it. It's fine. It's like, I don't think you're getting this. But anyway, let's go ahead and check this out and be done with Hell's Kitchen for another year or 6 months.
But Clemenza's bruised ego.
Really? You picked me, Wes.
You. And his bad
Provenza,
attitude.
Come on.
Led Justin to question his dedication.
I want you to just get your head.
I question your dedication.
Hey, what the f***? Who the f*** do you think you're talking to?
If you got a problem, you should just go the f*** home.
I'm done.
Find out now if Justin
like
will be going into the biggest dinner service of his life.
Provenza.
One chef down. And now, the conclusion of Hell's Kitchen.
They tease. That's the tease.
Clemenza, please.
Picked up
you
right
do
where
focus
left
in
off.
Your own way, but I really need you to be locked in, down to the T.
You know, it kind of really pissed me off not making it into the final two. But he's pissed off saying, I can't leave Justin. Here's my thing.
Oh, what a guy.
Am I angry that I went home? Yeah. And I'm going to tell you why. I should have still been standing 100%. With you guys. I could have went that one step further.
Yeah, we're past that now. That's over and done.
You know what? It's all doesn't matter to me. But, there's a but. I know I can do this, dude.
I hope so. I said, man, I've never been surprised by one person more in my life than I've been surprised by Clemenza. And tomorrow, I need the biggest surprise of my life.
You know, at the end of the day, I do hope Justin wins. But all that money ain't gonna do for me. The bottom line is you gotta want it. The hunger's gotta be there. The passion's gotta be there. And right now, my heart is
basically, you're an asshole.
I really hope that you surprise me tomorrow even more than ever.
It's 25 minutes into the all-important final dinner service.
Royce!
But Royce's overcooked crab cakes...
It's dry. Come on, you gotta get me better than that.
...has already put Justin in a little bit of a hole.
I'm dying here, guys. Dying in the window right now. These people want to eat. Let's go.
Royce, come on.
Come on. I'm dying here. Let's go.
Justin's like,
I'm freaking out right now. I can't keep my face on.
What the hell?
Everything is dying. And I can't get food in the window.
Okay.
Why?
Diners on the blue side are pleased with their appetizers.
Wow, this is delicious.
Really good.
Unfortunately, it's been a while since anything left the Red Kitchen.
It's so frustrating having my risotto go to the past, then come back.
Dana, how are you working this halibut? Is this cooked already?
Yeah, it's cooked already.
Dana, give me no one.
Why?
I need this sear on this.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Christina's like, recooked halibut. I'm like, I don't have time for that, okay? If something is wrong with these halibut, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. What?
Please, these are the ones that died.
No, they're not.
It's over. Dana, they're the ones that were sitting there.
No, they're not.
Okay. Dana, don't want her. Do what she said.
Die in the window. Come on, guys.
It's over. Just give me two more now. I don't want to lose this protein.
No, there's nothing wrong.
Dana.
No, it's fine.
As Dana tries to fight back on the fish station, diners continue to wait.
Dana, I need that pork.
Food's dying again in the window. Come on, guys.
You don't have
Stop.
To take
Just
it that
raw
long.
In the middle. Stop now. Raw in the middle.
Yeah.
This is when she raw.
On the last ticket.
This is why Gordon let her
I wish that I could have performed better for Christina, but I just got
such a shame. The last table.
That's what really hurts me.
No.
It's your decision. You pull that back, you start the table again, or you send that. It's your call.
Pull it. I'm not sending out the last table like there is no way in hell that I am going to do some on my last ticket, my last entree in Hell's Kitchen.
Christina, well done.
Thank you, chef.
Christina and Justin, are you ready?
Yes, chef.
On the count of three, turn your handle. One.
Come on, Justin.
Two. Three.
Oh, isn't it funny that the show never changes
so
at all?
Good.
They just have a formula
it's
and
totally
they do
amazing.
It to
I can
a team every
feel
time.
My body right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for Hell's Kitchen winner Christina!
Christina's passion and talent are undeniable. She's a strong leader who is totally at home in the kitchen. I know I'm not rolling the dice with her in Vegas.
Will she actually get her prize like none of the other winners?
No.
You always read about like they didn't actually work at whatever they were supposed to, something happened.
Yeah, it was something with Robot Dave where he went there but didn't work there or something?
Yeah, like, it wasn't what he thought it was going to be, but apparently he's still on friendly terms with the show because he's appeared on other things.
They're concerned about him.
He appeared this season, didn't he?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I remember.
Normally he shows up during the finale.
I think it was on the premiere. They went to a restaurant where he was the chef and another previous winner.
Oh, okay.
I'm concerned about him.
Yes, me too.
I love that guy.
Me too. All right, guys, let's take a break and we'll be right back and talk about Restaurant Stakeout. It's a really realistic show.
It's so realistic.
I'm freaking out right now!
One of the biggest drawbacks in today's performance is the sluggishness caused by dirty intake systems. So we developed Chevron Supreme, the high-octane gasoline with Tecraline. No additive cleans entire intake systems better. Now you'll be free to move ahead without any drawbacks. Chevron, we fuel your freedom.
Come drive an 89 Mazda V2200. So rugged, so reliable, they've been ranked number one in customer satisfaction 3 straight years. Come drive one now, and special factory-to-dealer cash incentives can save you hundreds off the already low sticker price. The new Mazda V2200 pickups. Pick yours out today.
Get a great deal at your Northern California Mazda dealers today.
I was a school wuss. I played golf.
Basketball, ooh. Basketball. I didn't know how to play basketball, so I became a scorer.
Who remembers their actual first girlfriend? Her name was Louise. Went to a makeout party.
And?
I would have done better, but I was bald then, too.
Levi's 100% cotton Dockers. If you're not wearing Dockers, you're just wearing pants.
That's my first girl. Kiss, I remember.
Was there a girl involved?
There was a girl involved.
In everyone's life, there's a summer of 42.
You're about to witness an incredible shaving demonstration. Not of hairs, of years. With Option Gradual Gray Coverage. Option, the foam that gets rid of gray hair. Gradually. Shave a few years off.
Not bad.
Or a lot of years. With Option, you're in control. And you look absolutely natural.
Terrific.
Option Gradual Gray Coverage. The foam that shaves away the years.
When you really need it by tomorrow, express tailoring at C&R. Jeopardy, weekdays at 4:30.
What are you pointing for us here, David? Is this something special?
Well, I found a new wine I think you might like.
What is this?
This has a beautiful color.
This is really good. Is it hard to find?
I think I can get you a bottle.
Yeah? Let me see what this is, David. Come on.
White Grenache. Gallo. How about that?
Ernest and Giulio Gallo introduce a remarkable new wine, White Grenache. It will change the way you think about Gallo.
Cutting back is fine, but this is a business that's always been run in relationships.
Come on, Phil. Your people were calling Hong Kong way too much. I had to do something. Hey, these are tough times.
Tougher now, I'm afraid. What's this? From our main guy over there saying that you signed with someone else? While we weren't calling, someone else was.
Today's high-compression engines not only rev high, they can run hotter than regular small-car engines. Their searing heat can begin to break down an oil immediately. That's why there's Castrol, the motor oil that in every grade provides maximum protection against viscosity and thermal breakdown. So use Castrol before your engine does something to get you heated up. Castrol, engineered for today's smaller cars.
Castrol GTX, available at all Long's Drugs.
Just a few hours of your time can mean so much. Call your local volunteer center at 800-CARE-123. That's what a friend is for.
Knocking. And pinging. It can bring out the animal in anyone. So we developed high-octane Chevron Supreme and added the cleansing power of Tecfidine. Now you'll be free to go without a moment's hesitation. Chevron, we fuel your freedom.
The Men's Warehouse exposes the high price of camel hair sport coats.
People are concerned about the high price of men's clothing. At Neiman's and Saks, these camel hair sport coats sell for $275. Our top quality camel hair sport coats are still only $185. That's the same price as last year. I guarantee it. I'm George Zimmer, president of the Men's Warehouse.
27 stores including Colma, San Jose, San Ramon, Newark, Pleasant Hill, Milpitas, and Albany and Fairfield.
I get paid to fly on TWA. I'm part of the new quality control team. I report directly to the chairman on what's good and what needs improving. When he's happy, you're happy.
Today's TWA. Find out how good we really are.
After all those meetings in Minneapolis and conventions in Kansas City, we think you could use a little change of pace. And after 40,000 miles in TWA's frequent flyer program, that's just what you get. Today's TWA. Find out how good we really are.
Live 105 FM. On the cutting edge. Live 105, the station that dares to be different.
When we film Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, it's careful planning, not luck, that gets us through some tough spots. It's not always that easy back here in your Wild Kingdom. No matter how hard you try, sometimes you can't avoid a serious injury or illness, the kind that can keep you out of work with no money coming in. But you can plan for your needs with Mutual of Omaha's money-back disability income protection that can pay you up to $10,000 a month when you're disabled. Best of all, you can get your money back. When your policy matures, Mutual of Omaha will return all the money you put in, minus any benefits you've received. Either way, you can't lose. No matter what kind of coverage you have now, do you have disability income protection? And is it enough? Remember, you never know what's going to happen in your Wild Kingdom.
Learn more about Mutual of Omaha's money-back disability income protection. Call toll-free 1-800-331-5800. That's 1-800-331-5800.
You deserve a second look. Buy your first pair of prescription eyeglasses at the regular price, and you can purchase a second pair for only $18.99 from a special selection of lenses and frames. Only $18.99 for a second pair of prescription eyeglasses. You deserve a second look, and it's yours for only $18.99 at the optical departments at Sears.
There's more for your life
at the optical department.
Would you believe this parrot goes grocery shopping? Sunday on Mac and Muttley, you can bet these birds are on a roll. Watch them go from cleaning up at a Bay Area car wash to high-flying fun in glamorous Las Vegas. Then this woman's arms and legs are paralyzed, but she gets more than a helping hand from this monkey. She gets a friend. Discover why their unique partnership means new hope for the handicapped on Mac and Muttley, Sunday at 5:30 on Channel 5.
Every holiday season, Walt Disney brings you the finest in animated movies. Now, that proud tradition continues as we present our newest full-length animated feature, Oliver and Company.
May I help you?
If I wanted a Whopper, no pickles, that wouldn't be a problem. But would we get to hear you sing?
No, sir. You get to hear us sing.
Hold a pickle, hold a lettuce, special order, donut.
May I help you?
If I want my value meal with rings,
instead of fries,
is that a problem?
Value meal with rings or fries can still cost the same great price. You don't have to ask for twice to have it your way.
When you have it your way, it just tastes better.
Scared Silly, starring Ronald McDonald and the Chicken McNugget.
Ronald, nice to see you in this neck of the woods. Come on.
What are you making?
We're scaring up secret sauces. For dipping.
We're ready, boss.
Let's make sauce.
Oh, well, at least I got my hair done.
I have an idea.
Whoop-de-doo, McDonald's sauces.
You can always count on them to be terrific.
It's a good time for the great taste of McDonald's.
Birds to kill, crazy.
Uh-oh. Yes. You know what's funny is in Guild Wars 2, my ranger will say, "Urge to kill rising." And I thought it was hilarious, right? So then, you know, I do a Google search of it from looking for it, and it turns out it's a Simpsons reference. Uh-huh. And I thought that was hilarious. It really is gold. I love that whole urge to kill fading.
Is that from one of the Halloween episodes?
Fading. Yeah. Yeah.
Fading.
Yeah, they're doing Friday? The Shining.
Fading. Fading.
Oh.
Gone. Yeah, it's the Treehouse of Horrors 5. It's the Shining. We can't call it the Shining. We'll get sued. Now, this week on Restaurant Stakeout, which we've already determined is a completely phony show, right?
Totally. Like, exasperatingly phony.
I still don't understand why every single episode has him walking into the restaurant. Okay, you put a camera right there. Yeah, I want to see everything
you're doing. Here.
Yeah, right here. I want a camera. I want to see everything they're doing at the bar. They do it every episode. Why?
I put this camera right above the door. I want to see the whole restaurant.
Yeah, we get it, dude. It even tells us on the intro what's going on, but they still have to do it every single time. And, you know, he's like, so why don't you fire any of these people? You know,
they came here with my father. You know.
So you're
this guy's such a pushover, such a massive douchey pushover.
And you, I realize this whole show would be worth it if they shit canned everyone at the end and hired people that were thankful to have a job at the end, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But instead, there is no repercussions. Nothing happens to the people. He just has a talk with them. And there's something that comes up.
I watched you on video with a very obnoxious man who pointed out all your flaws.
Yeah.
You were being recorded on camera because, you know, there's a camera there and there and there and there.
In this first clip, the late, you know, goes, ask her for a hamburger with,
cheese in the middle.
A custom hamburger or whatever. And the girl, like, is a smart ass. Let's go ahead and check this out.
Mike needs to take control of his own staff. When employees don't fear the hand that's feeding them, you're going to have trouble.
Listen to what he says.
We've got to take it back to scratch, start with every staff member. If I feel I want to fire the whole staff, we'll fire them all. Exactly. Your father put a lot of weight on you. He wants to see what
you need. Yeah, I always love this meeting in a parking lot.
I'm going to set cameras up.
Like they're setting up some sort of assassination.
My guy's going to lock it down. Then we're going to set up Willy Vision and give you a whole game plan.
Another thing is they show where the cameras are.
Yeah.
As an employee of this restaurant, how quickly would you spot the camera that had never been there before? I would discover it instantly. Like, what the hell?
And put you on a Willy diet to success, right?
That's right.
One of this whole dining room front and back.
Early the next morning, Willie's crew gets busy rigging up Mike's diner.
All right, guys.
And I hate the narrator. In a nearby construction trailer.
Let's go live. Show me what you got, Robbie.
Mike's staff has no idea he's called Willie in to watch them.
I want to see how they're accommodating. All these
what's with
things.
His microphone?
How do you handle them?
Does he really need that?
All right, let's go. Okay, Mike.
So
what I'm
going
to do is bring in some plans. I want to see
Glenn
if this
Beck?
Service Willie is just limited to one bad apple or your entire crew here.
Why I called you.
All right, Allie, you're good? You got me, right?
Yep, here you go.
You're going to order a burger that's not on the menu, all right? You want to design your own burger. Let's see if they'll go out of the way and make it for you. Normally, what do you do here,
all right,
Mike?
Let's do that,
give
Willie.
Them whatever they want.
Do you? You sure?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, could I get a cheeseburger, but the lettuce shredded? And instead of, like, the cheese on top, could I get it inside the patty? Like, if you, like, cut it, like, in half a long way? And
we don't make those.
You can't do that?
No, like that Juicy Lucy type thing? Yeah, we don't have that.
She don't want to do it right away. She's not even asking in the kitchen.
She's
unbelievable.
Not asking.
Do you just want the cheese on top? Or?
Could you, like, cut it in half?
Well, they could ask the burger.
She's really not going to.
They really want to.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you see what's going on, Mike? So you tell me you make things this way, but your staff right away is taking
an
easy way out.
I wouldn't do what that girl wanted either. She's got an annoying voice.
Whatever you're telling me here ain't matching into your store at all. All right, ask again. See what she says. Keep pushing.
Like, would it just be possible for them, honestly, to just, like, cut it down, like, cut it down and then...
Not gonna.
That's like a...
Like, really cut it light?
Now, is this waitress an actress?
Yeah, both of them are horrible actresses.
Like
it's obvious.
Like Willie said that he brought in these broads to be his actresses to order something, but is the waitress also an actress?
Yeah, I totally believe that she is. Because no waitress is actually like that.
Yeah, she would say
at the end of that.
Yeah.
Not treat people. It's just so freaking fake. It's
because I would say to her, do you want a tip? I mean, do you want to help us in any way? Because even later on, she goes in and the guy's like, let me go ahead and ask him. She goes, no, don't ask the chef. Don't ask him, you know. Don't ax him.
was.
Yeah, but this is a diner.
Every diner I've been to, done it, like, they've done it for her.
Why does this show exist that it's fake is what I want to know.
We don't do it here. This is not Burger King. You cannot have it.
They can't always air diners, drive-ins, and dives.
Yeah, there's the line where she goes, this is not Burger King. You can't have it your way. I mean, really?
Wait till Burger King sues them for the
You want it like that, you can go to your house, open your burger, put the cheese in, put the burger on top, and cook it in your oven.
Because I would make this for her. I'm not one that complains a lot, but I'd say, can I speak to your manager, please?
Wouldn't you just get up and leave, though?
I would just leave. I wouldn't even eat food.
I honestly
there.
Would want to see the person get fired, though.
Yeah.
Could you please fire her in front of me? I'd really appreciate that.
That's really mean.
I know.
That way, I guess I'll take it like that.
Okay. I'm a professional.
I don't know why they won't do that.
Want their cheese inside the burger. Like, what do you think this is? This is
a Bubba Burger.
I know, it's a Bubba Burger. There ain't no Bubba Juicy Burger. Lucy's at the Oakwood Diner.
Bubba Burger.
Juicy Lucy's.
Is she talking about me right now? They're talking about you.
That gossiping right in front of that customer, talking bad about customers. And this business is a major no-no anyway.
Oh my God! I can't believe it.
These people are never coming back. This is a bad habit. It's got to stop.
Well, Willie, they're your hired actors. Why would they come back?
Yeah, exactly. If Willie Deagle has guaranteed I will never stop in an Uncle Jack's steakhouse in my entire life, I cannot stand him.
Okay, well, here's something interesting that happens on this clip. Because, first of all, he's like, he sees a food fight going on in the kitchen, right? But
yes, is he throwing mashed potatoes?
Yeah, but there's two realities that happen on the show. It's like Fringe. There's two. Okay, he talks to the waitress, and she's a total smartass. You know, the
same one.
Yeah, the one that had ice cream on her face and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's like, I think you're bad at customer service, you're bad waitress, and you have a lot of problems. She goes, to you, that's what you think, or whatever. He goes, what? And he's like, you got a bad attitude. You don't know when to shut up. I'm going to recommend that he fires you. And you're like, whoa. Goes to commercial. Comes back. It starts out the same way. She goes, well, that's what you think or whatever. And he says something completely different, and it never happens where he says, I'm going to get you fired. None of that ever happens. And instead, he reasons with her. It's two realities happen there. One where he threatened to fire her, and the other one when it comes back from break, and he doesn't threaten to fire her, and everything works.
They have no idea how to even do this show. So they shoot multiple endings.
It's like choose your own adventures.
There's an episode where she got fired.
It all depends on what channel and what time zone you're watching it. You get a different ending. It's Clue.
All right, well, let's check this out. And then I'm going to play the alternate reality version.
Get me on camera, Jay. I want to see that table.
Yeah, zoom like in on the table. Well done.
So this girl has an issue with a burger. She's calling over Danielle.
This is really well done. Can I have a new one? I said medium well.
Yeah, that is medium well.
So Danielle is yapping back at the customer, almost like in an argumental way.
This place needs a basic policy.
Argumental.
If a customer wants to send back a burger, you
he's
take it back. No
ifs, ands, or buts about it. More words than
medium well. I always thought medium well was like more in between.
Next time, no order.
Next time, listen when I order it.
I did
listen. You
ordered medium well. To me, that means
oh my God, you catty bitches.
I would say, hey, come back here. Come back here for a second. What's your problem, man?
You know, like, if I was in that diner and I heard this going on, I would say you people should be ashamed of yourselves and just leave. It's just it's embarrassing. No one wants to be around that.
I know.
Customer's against her. She's wearing her heart on her sleeve. Why are they acting this way?
What's going on over here?
Get me on camera, Jay. I want to see that kitchen.
Holy, that was great ADR.
That's a strong paper. What is that, food? Is that your food they're throwing? Are you kidding me? This guy's throwing mashed potatoes
around. Throwing your food?
He's throwing mashed potatoes, bro.
This guy's a joke.
guy's throwing your money around. Here's your cousin throwing your money around. You got customers in the place, and these clowns are throwing stuff.
Your food is literally your profit on the plate. When you got a staff acting like animals, you got to clean
house.
I don't care how you're related. Cousin, brother, girlfriend, sister, he's got to go. Did this guy just swish ice cream on her face? This is insane.
Look at him. Out in the middle
now
of
he's
the
got the sprinkles out.
Looking
this is
Danielle.
Ridiculous.
She's not concerned at all.
Well, you know he's going to have his schwants out,
every
too.
Every customer there can watch what's going on.
This is crazy.
Now they got to go out to the customers all filthy and dirty?
None of the show means anything because no one gets fired. Am I right?
This is,
right.
It's like you said, this isn't actually happening.
Yeah. There's no repercussions of any of this shit that happens.
No.
Are you kidding me or what? Some chick walks through a dining room with ice cream on her face and presents
That's
a check
ridiculous.
With it. Is your staff this
I'm Willie
stupid?
Deagle.
Huh? Because if they're this stupid, I'm going to fire everybody and take the diner over for you. And then your father's adopting me. Why would you tell her to go to Burger King and have it your way?
I think people need to learn that you should be respectful and polite to your waiter and waitress as well.
You're not judge and jury here. He's the
You're
owner.
Not the punisher.
You let him manage that situation. Your job is to put that happy face on and do whatever you can for them. You, Danielle, you have a chip on your shoulder. You got an attitude to the guests.
Next time, know what you want her.
Next time, listen when I order it.
I did listen. You
want to medium well. Oh, just shut up.
You got a problem with a burger and want to return it. You have to turn that around. You have to understand without customers, you're out of business.
I didn't think I was that mean. She was mean to me first.
No, your service is bad.
But your boss seen it. You know what I mean?
She asked for it medium well. She got it medium
it's
well.
Ask.
Your job is
ASK.
First of all, you stupid bitch. The word is ask. A-S-K.
Why is that so hard to enunciate, to pronounce? Ask.
Well, it's the same with the word escape. Escape.
Oh.
Supposedly. That's another one. Supposedly.
Is this? Because I'm never going there.
Or also.
New York.
There's escape and especially. Well, especially. It's like, Jesus, stop inventing words.
Lose a $2 tip. I lose a $20, $30 check. You don't care.
Okay, this is the part where she's a bitch, and he says, I'm going to recommend you get fired. Now, check this out.
Hardest thing to do in this business is get a customer to choose your brand. You're telling the customer, never come back again. If you don't want to work here, you can leave now. But he's giving you the benefit. I said I just fire everybody here, and there's tons of people wanting a job. I said, let's clean house, fire everybody here, start fresh, and hold them accountable. I know how to read guests. It's what I do for a living, right? So I understand service. So if you think you were doing a great job and you're providing fantastic service, you're really misled.
To you.
To me? Really? You're just digging a hole for yourself. You don't know when to shut up. I would fire you, and I'm going to advise him to fire you.
Oh, my God. Okay, so you're like, wow. Oh, it went to commercial. When it comes back, I can't wait to see this bitch get shit canned. Yeah, this is going to be awesome. Now, this is what happens when it comes back from commercial. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you think you were doing a great job and you're providing fantastic service, you're really misled.
To you.
To me? Really? You're just digging a hole for yourself.
You're making me look terrible.
You make your money on tips, right?
Uh-huh.
So don't you think if you killed people with kindness, you would make more money?
Wait, what happened?
Well, they didn't tip anyway.
Why do you think they didn't tip?
I thought he was going to fire them.
They were mean.
Because you gave off a bad attitude. How hard is it for you to turn your morale around and say, hey, whatever the guest needs, I'm going to do? Can that hurt?
Not at all.
No, right? You need to take your job seriously.
I take my job seriously.
How old are you?
What happened?
Are you married? You have kids?
Who's going to fire her?
How many kids?
Two.
You take them seriously?
Yeah.
That's an alternate reality, right?
Yeah. So when you come here, this is a job. You need to take this seriously so your kids could benefit.
So one thing
Willie
happened.
Deagle shimmers. He straddles both realities.
If you looked outside, there were blimps in the air.
Yeah.
Anyone who was watching the show would go, what?
I was really close. I almost turned it off. The episode's almost over, and I'm like, you know what? I'm done. I can't do this.
It's so goddamn bad and phony.
I love Jason. He's a great guy, but this show is killing me.
Well, that one scene there, I just don't understand. One thing happens, and then it doesn't happen at all. It never happened.
I honestly, I kind of zoned out whenever I started getting irritated and just paying attention to all the monitors of bullshit they have behind Willie Deagle.
I was
in
like,
that room.
What's going on there? Zoom in.
There's like waveforms and like, who's that on monitor 8? Who is that?
Hey, it's those guys like, from Night Trap.
Look at those people making out.
Set up a trap in the kitchen.
Why is Corey Haim on that monitor?
Corey. Dana Plato? I thought she was dead. Why did I go there? All right. Hotel Hell had a two up. Baby, what are you doing over there by the subwoofer? Baby.
Woof. Woof. She found her life partner.
I saw the rear speaker over there shaking, and I was getting nervous. Okay, that was our baby appearance for the evening. Okay, Hotel Hell. Did you guys see the one where the guy had Sherlock Holmes murder mysteries?
Oh, my God. I wanted to strangle him.
Well,
I think my accent's better than your accent. Well, he's Scottish, douchebag.
I had to do the first part where Gordon arrives first, and he pretty much, the guy, like, laughs at everything Gordon says, like, oh.
Is this funny to you?
Is this funny to you? It seems very serious. One thing I got to tell you, though, I will never sleep at a place that used to be a schoolhouse converted into a hotel, okay?
Who has an emotional attachment to their elementary school? I freaking hated elementary school. I wanted to be home watching Transformers.
What is she trying to get? Go ahead and give it to her.
It was squeaking and all.
So let's go and check. Yeah, it's creepy. He's like, I really enjoyed my elementary school so much I bought it and turned it into a hotel.
But then again, this is a guy walking around thinking he's Sherlock Holmes.
Wow.
And a chef.
His wife was so miserable. The part where Gordon's like talking to her and he's like, so are you enjoying your life? And she's like, no. And he's like, the husband's like, oh. He's like, how's your marriage?
I love my wife. Her humor is so dry. No, she's actually miserable, you asshole.
How are you getting along with your husband? Not well. And he's like,
it's almost over. Yeah.
I'm thinking about shooting him in his sleep.
We'll see if he can figure out who does it on it.
Yeah, I loved his uncomfortable laughter the whole time.
Oh.
Jesus.
Urge to kill rising.
All right, let's check this out.
I'm here in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I seriously hope this place is better than the other holes I've stayed in. Oh, my God.
Hello. Who the hell is going to Idaho?
I recognize that voice. You're Gordon Ramsay.
Okay, well, good to see you. My God, look at those
chefs. I had no idea you were coming.
They are. Those came out of the first grade classroom.
Well, look, you almost fit.
Are you receptive for dwarfs or just... First impression from the outside, it's almost like walking to a funeral parlor.
Oh, this is my dining room.
Who's the chef here? I saw a billboard of a guy with the most hideous hat on, covered in trees and like this six-foot hat.
It's kind of grown into Jean-Pierre the Mad French Chef of the Roosevelt. Because Jean Coeur d'Alene is a French name town, and also we must cook the fabulous food, wear this outfit.
What's next?
Our little ballroom.
So this guy a jackass?
Our multi-purpose room.
Oh, come on.
Rohan, you're not supposed
delusional.
To be in this room.
Don't you think
his dog is Rohan?
Oh, Jesus.
Well, exactly, Gordon. We renovated this room 4 years ago.
Nerd.
This is new.
Stop.
No.
This room looks like it was last decorated in 1908, not 2008.
And how much you spent on this?
$54,000.
That was excellent ADR, by the way.
Not 5,400, 54,000.
I know, lovely, huh?
And does it generate money?
No.
I can't believe anyone would want to rent that space. It's hideous. I'm dying to have a look upstairs. It can't get any worse.
It could get worse.
And what's your occupancy across the year?
Probably around mid-20s.
20% across the board.
Ouch.
I'm amazed you find it so funny.
This is your room.
Okay. What's with all the pink? It's like someone threw up strawberry milkshake all over the place. My room has two levels.
Oh, Gordon.
Another excellent ADR.
Oh, everything looks.
I thought this
like
great strawberry milkshake line. Let's put it in later.
So, my room, how much do you pay to stay in here?
$319.
$319.
All right, Stephen, take it for now.
I'm speechless. 13-year-old decor, $319 a night. Can I ask you something?
Fire away.
Why do you think everything's a big joke?
Because your
life is funny.
Very critical.
I'm here to get this place right. But what I don't understand is how blasé you are.
You know, it's kind of like Kitchen Nightmares, where it's like, didn't you ask him to come there?
He's not being blasé. He's just really nervous. And I've known people to do that in really bad situations, is they laugh.
Yeah,
because they don't know how to deal with it. Obviously what's going on. The guy needs a shrink.
I guarantee you, if I was on Hell's Kitchen, he was yelling at me, I'd probably go, and he'd go, why are you laughing? Get out of here! And I'd be like, dude, that's how I deal with uncomfortable situations.
Yeah.
It's the situation. I'm going to give you the truth. And if you don't like that, then I'm out of here.
What'd you want me to do? Get angry and punch you?
You want to punch me?
Maybe I do want to punch you a little bit. But
I can become physically very, very violent.
Oh, my God.
And have people get hurt.
Oh, my God.
He's admitting this on television?
John. You can't just walk away. Where are you going?
That moment was
crazy.
That was missing a John.
What is he talking about? About like I can become.
They had to create that. That he couldn't have actually said that.
Angry.
You know what? Maybe they told him to read like a bit of like a Hulk script.
That's what I was
thinking. Physically very, very violent.
Like, here, turn into the Hulk.
Best Bill Bixby for us.
You know what's funny is Restaurant Stakeout makes you think every show is fake after you watch
it. Yeah, well, yeah, this, you're right, but this guy seemed particularly strange, but the editing in itself, plus all the ADR, like the little insults he drops in, like, this looked like a strawberry milkshake. It just sounded like
Kill Rising
on Bravo. You know, it just sounded bad.
All right, here's the Sherlock part where Gordon watches as they have murder mystery night.
Gordon has a problem with anyone dressing up in any situation, because there's been things like this before.
He's like,
where somebody's put on a show. Wasn't there like an inn where a guy was like, what did he do? Was he a magician or some shit? I can't even remember, but Gordon does not like people dressing up as something. It's Halloween.
But this show reminds me, when situations like this, it reminds me a lot of the UK version of like Kitchen Nightmares and stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
Let's check it out.
Help. Let me out.
I thought that was
tonight, the Roosevelt Inn is holding a murder mystery dinner. It's an event they host once a month. I have a feeling it's going to be hard to forget. Are you dressed in that for this evening?
I play the part of Sherlock Holmes.
Yes, chosen to be murdered.
Playing an Englishman.
I am playing an Englishman, and I even have the pipe to go with it.
I play the part of Benedict Cumberbatch.
Long and hard. In fact, mine is better than your British accent. I actually don't know where Gordon got his accent. He obviously doesn't practice it very much. Mine is far more authentic than his is. Absolutely.
Douchebag.
Wow. So while John gets to play Sherlock Holmes, his wife is stuck in the kitchen. Wake up, John. This is not the 1800s anymore.
John definitely liked dressing up more for the murder mysteries because he's not in the hot kitchen. He's out there hamming it up with the guests playing Sherlock Holmes.
Okay. Slightly weird. I wonder if this event even makes any money. Is this profitable?
It is profitable. Yeah, it's a lot of work. I mean, we made $200 tonight.
$200 for all this work?
God.
And are they all staying over?
Oh, no. Most of the locals, you know, when they come for a murder mystery, they usually don't do an overnight.
Clearly tonight's about feeding John's ego, not filling his bank account.
Oh, well, that could explain it, then. There, no, oh, here now. Oh, my word.
What? I say.
Oh, my God.
Here. Come to me, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, it appears the game is afoot.
You know, their goal with the murder mysteries has always been to get people in, but if I'm not filling the rooms, what's the point?
Thank goodness that's over. It's time to find out from John what on earth he thinks he's doing. The problems at the Roosevelt are elementary.
Can I just have a word with you on your own?
That was bad, Gordon.
Being an entertainer. Don't you dare tell me that is hard. This whole thing was put together for your fantasy.
Well, that's kind of what this night is. It is entertainment. We put on a show.
You're pretending to be Sherlock Holmes, and upstairs, we're empty.
you're in the financially. We're in ruins.
And if you put the same amount of effort into filling this place, just one room booked tonight
would have made more profit than the whole murder mystery and all that work that went into it.
I mean, this is insane.
And you know, the one thing is what Gordon does is I think all of us fool ourselves in everyday life a lot of times.
Absolutely. It's how, like, some of us get through every day.
I could see Gordon like, you doing your little podcast. Do you think this is doing anything in your life?
And is I'm just it
like,
profitable?
Shut up. Leave me alone, Gordon. Well,
oh, it's just a hobby, Gordon.
Big
We're not
man.
Expecting anything from it.
What are you doing with your life? It's nothing. How many listeners do you have? Don't go there.
Yeah, it fluctuates.
Oh, did I hurt your ego? Shut the hell up. Get out of my house. I can just see that same shit.
Why is your dog so loud?
He needs discipline. I can
it's
totally...
a she.
It's a girl dog, you bastard.
Why is it named Baby?
Basically, I know that Gordon could basically cut me down to size in seconds.
He could easily destroy me in record time.
I would be on the. I'd be a puddle on the ground, like, oh, he's right about everything.
Prance around like some idiot.
While your wife is slaving away in the kitchen.
Do you have any care in the world? Apart from yourself?
When you get a psychology degree.
Oh, when I get one.
You come and tell me what's wrong with me.
Here we go.
You obviously think you're a psychologist.
Here we go.
Denial again.
No, I'm not in denial. I just don't know what you want.
It's only your own stupidity to why we're in the...
You wanted to be Watson,
well,
didn't
that
you?
Is
I hurt
probably
your feelings.
True.
So then man up and act responsible.
Okay, I'm done with that.
Oh,
I'm done with that interview.
Oh, careful. Sherlock.
Over. No, no.
Is that, massage?
Oh,
you
Sherlock.
I love that.
No, totally, man. Oh, what
have
a
night.
Idiot.
Have a
You're
good
not
night.
10 years old. You need to grow up and stop running away from the truth. Joke. Little poo-poo in khaki pants.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
And, of course, the guy's like, Gordon's
oh,
right.
Oh, Sherlock.
I love that. He goes, massage your ego. All right, I've had enough of this. Talk to the hand. And, of course, Gordon, you know, remodels, and they set up that banquet room to be rented out for weddings or whatever.
And they throw a wedding in the last second.
Yeah.
There just happened to be somebody that was getting married and could change everything.
And I have no idea if anything will really change for that place. Or
no, I highly doubt
it.
Really
think
I was waiting for the ending, like, that they went under.
Yeah.
But they're still doing Sherlock nights at this house.
And they're now divorced. That's what I expected for her to just leave the guy.
Yeah.
All right, now I want to talk about Face Off. We love Face Off.
Face Off.
We love Glenn Hetrick and his Optic Nerve Studios. You know, the week before they did the, was it the Dragons?
Yeah, Dragons.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And,
that was terrible. Honestly,
I thought the blonde girl, that team, theirs didn't resemble a dragon, but it was cool looking, I remembered. But they didn't
win.
Was
that one that like, had like the devil face? With the...
I think so. It was very... But you notice they love the guy with the cowboy hat way too much. And
yeah,
I think
they do. Well, I thought his whole... The queen thing, the Queen of Hearts thing was really cool. I thought the way he created the like, skull...
the
crown.
And I thought since she's the Queen of Hearts, she should be holding a heart instead of a head. But then I remember she did off with their heads kind of thing. But the other guy's Queen of Hearts, oh my God.
Oh,
she's like a vampire and she sucks blood. It's like
she's vampiric.
Did you not hear what the whole premise is? It's Alice in Wonderland zombies. Oh no, but she sucks blood and she has this afroed black lady. But wasn't that awkward?
That was racist.
It's like it was holding a black lady's torso. What the hell is that?
The skin was like gray and wrinkly and just so strange.
Now, before all that, they had, what is Muhammad Ali's daughter's name again?
Layla Ali, oh my God, Layla. She's so famous.
Is it Layla Ali? Isn't there also Tatiana Ali? Or there's Layla Ali.
Idea.
But anyway, what I thought was funny is when she critiques each person, oh, you did a pretty good job, but not enough blood. Or, yeah, that looks pretty good, but it doesn't really look like that. Like, she, like, basically said, but the guy with the cowboy hat has to go, what are we doing here? Are we doing this? Before each thing they go to. Let's check this out.
So we head downtown this morning for the next Foundation Challenge.
Oh, nice music.
I know.
Into
Glenn Hendrick.
Okay, what kind of terms is this? Is it something like a battle royal where nine walk in, one walks out?
Yeah, exactly.
Welcome to one of the most hardcore fighting gyms in Los Angeles.
Or something.
Before I tell you anything more, I want to introduce you to your guest judge this week. She's a four-time world championship professional boxer who went undefeated her entire career. Please welcome Layla Ali.
Thank you.
Just once, I want them to cut. You know, they always cut to the contestant, and they go, oh, wow. I want them to go, who?
Yeah, exactly. Or, well, yeah.
Or cut to one of those.
Like, oh, she's like a superstar fighter. No, I think she had like 10 fights.
I want to see one of the girls go, I could totally kick this bitch's ass.
Be like, yeah, like no, that. You're not famous. Your father was famous.
Yeah, there you go.
Layla Ali. She's a legend. It's really cool to meet her.
Yeah.
So excited.
Yeah, your dad was a legend.
We are excited to have you. So, guys, in films like Raging Bull and Rocky and The Fighter, makeup artists have been called upon to create a realistic trauma makeup for the big screen. That is the basis of your foundation challenge, to make your models look like they have just gone through a nasty 10 rounds in the ring. So, Layla, needless to say, you do know what this stuff looks like.
A lot can happen in a fight. You can get anything from a busted lip to a broken nose, bruising, swelling, a gash over your eye. So there's a lot that can happen over 10 rounds.
Brushes down.
He got his eye pretty messed up in this fight, and his lip is cut, and he's bleeding everywhere.
I like the way that the blood is splattered over his body. The only thing I would say is that the color of the blood looks like it's older. When you just come out of a fight, it wouldn't be that thick and that dark.
He's actually the winner of the fight, despite how he looks. He swelled up his eye. Both his ears got cut in the fight.
He did a pretty good job with the thickness of the blood. It's kind of watery. In a fight, you're sweating. It looks good.
Busted lip, broken nose, a little bit of gashes.
I think you did a good job with the swelling, just the shape of it around the eye and then down the cheekbone. The lip looks very, very bloody.
He's taken a couple blows to the face. We have a busted nose and a split in the eyebrow that's still fresh.
Ooh,
being
eyebrow.
That it is beat up pretty bad, there would be more blood on
this
his body.
This one has a paper cut on his
All right,
nose.
Layla, so how did they do overall?
You know, I thought everyone did
They're
a really
very
great job.
Unrealistic.
It seems like they knew in their mind what their fighter was going
they
through.
They all look like plastic.
Jason, that eye was great. The cuts were very realistic for a boxing match.
Thank you.
All right, Layla. Who is the winner of this challenge?
The winner of this challenge is Jason. Even though your model didn't have as much as everybody else's, what you did do, you nailed.
So you're complimenting me? And
Christine McKenzie standing in this magical garden. And I'm thinking, oh, great, we're going to do munchkins or fairies.
It's like, just stop guessing. You're wrong
Welcome
every time.
To the beautiful Descanso Gardens. This week, your spotlight challenge.
Oh, by the way, this guy Tommy is about to show his age, okay? Just wait for it.
Inspiration comes from a very famous book, Alice's Adventures in Wonderland.
I love Alice in Wonderland. If I had a tail, it'd be Wagon.
This book has become a phenomenon, saturating pop culture and spawning several feature films. But it's also found its way into places that you really would never expect, like the Resident Evil film franchise.
Oh, oh shut your mouth.
I love the franchise. I've watched the movie since I was a kid. Finally, the challenge that I want to tackle.
The Resident Evil films take place in...
He said he grew up with the Resident Evil franchise.
What?
The first one came out, I was 4 years old. I was like, what?
See, this guy is so in over his head. Even during the reveals, he's like, this is his baby. I just went along for the ride. Like, when is he going to actually do something?
When he does his rabbit, that's coming up next. But when they go, Glenn Hedrick goes, all right, Tommy, describe to me the
redneck rabbit,
the premise of this rabbit. And he starts talking. None of it makes any sense.
No.
But let's go ahead and check this out.
the world infected by the T-virus, which turns humans and animals into zombies. Well, today, that virus has infected Wonderland. Your spotlight challenge is to create a completely original take on one of the iconic characters from Alice's Adventures in Wonderland as a virus-infected
zombie. I like the other rabbit.
I want a zombie flying
we
monkey.
We have Alice, the Hatter, the Queen,
wrong movie,
Cheshire Cat, and White Rabbit.
Oh, wait,
Jason,
wait, wait. What about the girl who goes, I'm a Mennonite, and I grew up, and I have no idea what zombies are, or something like that? I was like, wait. What?
Isn't she the one that failed miserably in the last elimination challenge and a guy went?
Yeah. And she did the Cheshire Cat, right? In the string holding the tail, which I thought was really bad, but she got a pass this week. But
yeah, I was shocked at that.
Yeah, I grew up on a Mennonite.
How are you a Mennonite and then get into movie makeup?
I don't know. This was like, did you ever see any movies? No.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. She doesn't even know what the freak a zombie is.
Yeah, what the hell?
Your card.
Okay, that's the end of that clip.
Oh, hey.
Now, Tommy designs his rabbit, and he's going to describe. My favorite thing is, the whole time I was like, dude, that thing looks shitty, because he was wearing a flannel shirt, and I love when V-Neil goes, what the hell is he wearing?
He's wearing baggy pants, a yellow t-shirt, a flannel shirt. It's like, what's the reasoning? It's like he concentrated on the head and just was like, everything.
And you know, the other guy, did he do a cat? The guy who won the purple cat? I thought that looked awesome.
That was like the crazy, like, whiskers and shit. It was really, really cool.
You know another? Okay, the girl who did the brain, pulsating brain.
Oh, jeez.
And it was a bad color. I thought it was kind of, like, silly, but Tommy's rabbit and the other guy's bad Queen of Hearts, shouldn't they have gone home, one of them?
I think both of them should have gone home.
Because Glenn Hetrick goes, you should have been able to save it with your paint job, but instead you made it worse. And that was the reason. But look at Tommy's rabbit. He's wearing a grunge outfit. You know?
I think they liked the zombie rabbit ears and stuff. I think they were looking more at the design of the head and kind of trying to ignore everything else.
Right. Okay, let's check this out when they question Tommy and the guy who did the bad Queen of Hearts.
So that means the rest of you were the best and the worst looks of the week. The judges would like to speak with each of you to learn more about your work. Mm-hmm. Tommy, you're up first.
Tommy, give us a background on the ideas you were working with here.
Well, my concept was the infection is running through his body. He can see that different stages are happening at different times. So he puts all these wristwatches on. While those watches are still ticking, he's running through the city and he's taking out zombies. What we have here is finally the last watch run out. And he quite literally ran out of time.
It seems like there's some cool ideas in there. I can't see.
No, don't be nice.
I don't know what's happening because you've just kind of got that loathsome device known as Funfer and Gore.
I love all the concepts behind your creation.
Of course you do. You're an idiot.
15% of it, which is the head.
Steal that for the next Resident Evil.
Now, I just wish the rest of your creation kind of matched what you've done with the head.
His left eye is such a big feature, but there's not enough gloss to make it stand out. It's a bit of a mess.
What the heck is he wearing? And why? That is the most distracting, god-awful crap I've ever seen.
Well, in the storybook, he has got, like, that tweed jacket.
Dude, that is not tweed. That is a bloody flannel shirt.
Tommy, thank you. Rod.
Tommy, thank you.
Rod, give us the backstory to your character.
The virus that she's infected with has hyper-accelerated her metabolism. Because of that, her skin goes from full-size to shriveled and back and forth, and that's what all the texture has come from.
I'm having a hard time finding the driving force that's propelling this design.
I don't really understand the color choice that you made by giving her this skin color.
Why is she carrying a black
woman
around
with her? It's not really rotten, and it's not really dead, and it's just kind of an odd color choice. And I think for me, you just kind of missed the mark on it.
What I don't find at all is a zombie infected with a virus. You've missed the point of the whole challenge.
this was my challenge.
Why don't we move on to the looks that you liked the least? Let's start with Tommy.
It looks like even that one big bulging eye just sort of got lost in the makeup.
I was disappointed with the design. It felt very thrown together.
All right, let's move on to Nicole.
I can't believe that she would just paint the face charcoal gray.
The boils that look like brains, you know, just look like bad brains.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to Rod.
This bums me out so much.
For me, that makeup looked like a very bizarre old age makeup.
It has nothing to do with Alice in Wonderland, and then it has nothing to do with zombies.
Right.
It's like drinking blood, that's more kind of vampiric.
Okay, judges?
And you would know.
Wow, it's so bad.
Even Paul W.S. Anderson's statement right there where he said, the boil that looks like brains just looks like bad brains. Well, you just said it looks like brains, and it's... It was brains. It was bad brains. You are a moron. Like, it just...
I still don't understand why she went home over the other two guys.
And I don't understand that... I love when these people have these ideas and they explain it, and it just still makes no freaking sense
he's
at all.
Different watches.
How do you know what time zone is going to go off, you know?
Well, the whole watches things, like, what, you need a watch to see at what point the virus has gone up your arm?
At all.
Are you a moron? And why is he running through the jungle killing zombies with a machete? I don't, there's absolutely no thought process into these characters.
Yeah, I don't understand.
And then this has a metabolism thing. No, it's supposed to be the T virus. Are you retarded?
Yes, and she's wearing that stupid dress.
He makes up his own virus.
I can't get over the black lady the torso. Look, why is she holding that? It's so uncomfortable. So odd.
She just, you know, there was a black head in the room, so...
Yeah, that's what it looks like. He goes, ooh, this would be good for my costume. I'll just grab this. Ooh.
You know what's funny, though?
To kill rising.
I like V. Neal, but I was, like, kind of looking her up online because they're, like, Academy Award winning. I was like, okay, she won Mr. Ed. Ed Wood, Mrs. Doubtfire, Beetlejuice. And then I looked on Wikipedia, and V. Neal is her stage name. Her real name's Mary Flores. I guess it was too plain for her.
Okay.
It's like, is Glenn Hetrick his real name? Or is that, like, super badass?
Jason.
Huh? I don't know.
All these people are so strange.
Very strange.
But I can't wait for Hot Set. They sure are pumping the shit out of that during the commercial.
Yeah,
right,
I want to watch that show. We're going to cover that next week.
Pixis versus Chimera.
All right, let's talk about Collection Intervention. This guy had the world's greatest Battlestar Galactica collection, huh? When they first said that,
the next Battlestar Galactica.
I was like, how much stuff was there of that? I remember when I was a kid, they had Battlestar Galactica toys where the little action figure guys were tiny, and I thought it was so lame.
I think I had the Viper.
Yeah, and they had the Cylons where you'd pull the wings open and fire the two little red spring rockets.
Oh, that's cool.
I remember that, but he had a lot of stuff I had never even seen before. But what's cool is, you know, he's one of those guys, he doesn't want anyone to touch his stuff, I guess, or...
All of them. None of them want him to touch your stuff.
He didn't want Elise to organize it, or whatever. Oh. It's really doing well in here. But she invites Richard Hatch over. I thought was pretty cool, though, the way he kind of talked to him. You know, like he made friends with them and then said, wouldn't it be better?
It's like, what are you doing at this? I mean, there was some really impressive stuff there, especially, I mean, that's not the sort of stuff that you can just buy on eBay. You know,
right.
It just seems, it's a little more rare and a little more specialized.
Well, it was kind of sad when the guy goes, you ready to see the world's greatest BSG collection? And then they walk into that messy garage and he's like, dude.
Yeah.
Elise has had a hard time breaking through to Mike about letting go some of his pieces that just take up space. So she decided to let someone else step up to the task.
Hi.
Elise, come in.
I have a surprise for you.
Okay.
I brought a friend.
What's up, dude? How you doing, buddy?
How's it going, man?
Good to see you.
When Richard Hatch walked through
my door. That was pretty awesome. I bumped into him at conventions and worked with him on projects, but never really felt comfortable enough with him.
Richard Hatch in my house?
He totally stalked him.
Mike is in love with Richard Hatch. Richard Hatch played Captain Apollo in the original television series. He was very
Richard
popular.
Richard Hatch! And then in the new series, really tight ass,
he played
man.
A different character, yeah. Tom Zarek. My hope is that if Mike gets to show off his collection to his hero, he'll remember that it's what he should be focusing on and taking care of, not the things that just take up space and don't add any value to the big picture.
In here, you will see the greatest Battlestar Galactica collection.
I hate to say this, it's worse than me, Mike. I was kind of in the dark as to what I was going to see. But when I came into the garage and I looked at his mess, I really was surprised. He needs help. I would think, like, a major collector would have everything laid out and displayed and lights coming down so that anybody walking in could see all that stuff. And what do I see? All this wonderful stuff just thrown, packed, smudged together.
I thought it was just falling over.
I know. See, if you just touch it, it's going to fall and crash and burn.
It's the kind of thing I wish I could go back in time and tell my 10-year-old self, like, hey, when you're almost 40, your collection is going to be so bad that Apollo has to come fix it.
Why didn't they do an Apollo action figure back when you were making the figures?
You know why?
Were you difficult? Were you wouldn't give them your likeness or something?
I actually did not. If I could remember all the stupid decisions I made back then, I have no clue why I did not give them permission to do a
figure. They're not making a toy of my face.
I had some really interesting little collectibles that I've never seen. I had no idea that they were even marketing and putting all that stuff out. It's great.
Here you are, my voodoo doll.
All right. That actually looks remotely like me.
I had it slightly better.
Oh, my God, look at this.
Hey, you see that?
Cool. I've seen this book.
I studied that book.
I think this is my book. See, my name's right in here.
You stole from my collection, Mike.
It was amazing to geek out with Richard Hatch. Like, who wouldn't want that experience? You know, have your favorite actor at your house and just geek out and talk Battlestar, talk life. It's a real, genuine human experience.
You know, you've got a lot of really, really cool stuff here. But all that stuff starts to age and fall apart and get old. Mm-hmm. Probably be a really, really good thing for you just to organize it, get it covered up so that it's protected so that 20 years from now it's still going to be good.
Maybe your wife would love you again.
Oh,
So would you sit down with Elise? I'm willing to do that for Captain Apollo. I'm there, Captain Apollo.
You see, you're not playing fair because you're bringing Apollo into it. He really did show me the light. As I'm
it's
able
me,
to dig
Apollo.
In
I only
and
pretend
get
to be
more
Richard
things
Hatch.
Out, I think what? That would be easy
the Galactica's
to organize.
Real.
Hopefully Mike will be pleased with her decision.
I have a surprise for you. You don't have the actual, the real, the one, the only.
This is so cool they gave
the
Galactica script.
Original script.
I do not.
With like
I'm actually going to give this to you.
You're going to give this to me?
I am. This is the script that I got when I first was offered Battlestar
Signed by Lorne Greene.
Any original script can be worth a lot of money, but this piece is valuable because it came directly from Richard Hatch. That means more than any amount of money that you could ever get for it.
This is for you?
Brother.
My friend.
Thank you. Yeah. Keep the faith, man.
Because you're such a cool guy.
Awesome. And I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you, you know, for helping to inspire this because now everybody can enjoy all this.
It's something, you know, I'll always treasure. Let it be known that tonight is the grand opening of the Galactic Museum.
Wow.
So say we all, everybody.
So say we all.
You know what I figured out? Either she helps them learn to sell off parts of their collection they don't need or display them publicly so other people can enjoy it. That's like the two things. The other guy who did the, what do they call it? The mashing of other... figures?
Figure bashing.
Yeah, figure bashing. I thought his stuff was really cool.
Yeah.
He's just incredibly unorganized and was messy and had shit piled up everywhere.
Yeah. I liked it. I thought it was funny, though, that he was like, yeah, I'm an artist. And he was tracing.
Yeah,
and then when they showed him how to use the computer, it's like this terrible Batman. And the kid's like, the great thing about digital is it can look real bad when it goes in, but then once you fix it, it looks great.
Yeah,
it's like, well, that's one way to look at it.
Tracer.
Yeah, he's a tracer.
I laughed. I saw his lightsaber on the mantle, like above the fireplace. His wife is just like, oh, God, get this shit out of here. Okay, now the other episode had the Hanna-Barbera guy.
That guy, God, I felt horrible.
Was he a mess emotionally?
Oh my gosh, I felt so bad for him that like I was uncomfortable watching it. There was a point where the shrink was in there, and the guy kind of talked through mashed teeth anyways, but then when the shrink started hitting points and pushing him, he started like...
It's like, no. You know what? When you listen to his voice, I kept thinking John Malkovich, just the way he sounded. Like, yeah. I could hear John Malkovich playing this guy in a movie. So let's go ahead and check this out and picture John Malkovich standing there.
David tells me that his mom passed away and that she and him, as he grew up, collected Hanna-Barbera toys. So
they collected totally Snagglepuss.
I mean, strong emotional attachment to his pieces.
Because of David's emotional attachment to his pieces,
it's pretty clear to me that he doesn't want to sell anything, and that's okay, but he really needs to concentrate on storing his items correctly so that they're preserved. I think one of the things that Ron said so clearly and so true is you have a great historical collection, and your goal is to let people see it and educate them. I was thinking about maybe we could get together some pieces, and we could take them to a gallery and put them on display like a museum would be, and have a mini exhibition.
Every time you bring something out of your house, there's always a risk of something getting stolen or damaged or lost.
Where have we heard that before?
It causes a level of stress.
Every single one of these guys.
We have a person that comes in and talks to everybody about their emotional attachments to the pieces. And I'd love for him to talk to you. David has such an aversion to moving any of his pieces that I think it's important he meet with a therapist who has experience with anxiety that will help facilitate the process.
No, I don't need a therapist. I'm not crazy now. I don't think I need a therapist.
Richard Hatch, like, dude, I'm not going in this guy's house.
I can be put in the spot again.
Before David's gallery showing, Elise has arranged for him to meet with therapist John Silimparis.
Hi.
Hi, David.
To discuss his connection to the Flintstones piece.
Is this guy under her employ?
Wow, so these figurines.
Because he's on every episode.
When did you start collecting?
When I was a kid. My mother just started collecting stuff.
Was she as an intense collector as you were?
Well, she started all this. More of a tribute to her.
So when you say it's a tribute to her, is she
more
no longer
tribute
living?
To her?
Yeah, she's been gone 11 years. So.
Oh, she has, okay. If she was still living, would you be not continuing as intensely as you are now?
I would still have it, but it wouldn't be as intense as if she was still here. This is something that we shared together when I was young.
Because it's attached to his mother and his mother's memory, he's sort of caught in a time capsule.
Towards your deathbed. You've got to do something with it.
Dave, that's intense. Elise asked me to try and enact an exposure with David where I'm going to ask him
to
move some of the
items
that he says he's going to easily move tomorrow. Tomorrow night with Elise.
David, I'm going to lock the door and you're going to see me outside with a gas can.
For a lot of collectors, sometimes it's difficult to actually start putting things in boxes. I was wondering if maybe we could start doing that. Or at least see what that process is like for you.
Well, I don't want to.
I'm going to take this Bam Bam puppet.
No, but we could move it into another room, let's say, and at least start getting it out of here.
Wait, was Eugene the Jeep on Popeye?
It's my
Who was the Martian guy?
Does it matter?
It's a stage left.
Okay, remember there was the Flintstones with the alien dude. Who was that guy?
That was,
The Great Gazoo.
The guy that would say dum dum.
The Great Gazoo.
Gazoo, yes.
I'm going to take one Great Gazoo.
Get out of here! He's very, like, he's the epitome of arrested development. It's like he looks like a large child. The point when his mother passed away, he stopped functioning as a human being.
He did. It made me think of Bad Ronald when he goes, Mother!
he's going to run through a wall out into the street.
Basically, he's been living in this, like, pocket of nostalgia.
He's living in a mausoleum.
Yeah, he's living in a frozen memory of his dead mother. Her soul is contained in those Flintstones and everything.
The Bam Bam puppet.
Yeah, was his friend? He's like, yeah, I'm worried about him. Like, he's never going to get laid or anything. It's like, he's creepy. It's like, I don't think he's into
I have a creepy friend.
he's into Flintstones, dude. I don't think he's interested in women. You know what I'm saying?
Urge to kill rising.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Now, did anybody watch Top Chef Masters?
I did. I didn't get to see who got the boot, Tom, but I saw it was like that thing in Vegas where they did like a white picnic or something.
Mm-hmm. This French guy, he was carrying on the tradition of his dad where they do this giant dinner where everyone dresses in white and they all eat richest, most expensive foods ever. And I thought it was kind of
like a
douchey.
Weird chef rave.
It is incredibly douchey.
Douchey and decadent. And they kept cutting to the chefs and they go, oh, it was very interesting. Like everyone shows up with their own chairs and their own plates. And then they cut to another chef and he go, yeah, it's really interesting. They all show up with their own knives and forks and plates. And it's like, yeah, we know. We got it. Stop talking about it. Just prepare the food. But as always, I love Lorena Garcia.
Lorena Garcia.
And I love James Osland. And he didn't have any great quotes this week.
He didn't. I was so disappointed.
Yeah. So let's check this out.
Chefs, we have something special for you. Tomorrow, you'll have the privilege of participating in one of the world's greatest underground dining events.
Older cell. Out of thin
air, the masses arrive to a secret outdoor location and set up an elegant, beautiful dinner party. All decked out.
They all start taking ecstasy and eating food. 300
people will descend on the plaza of the Venetian Hotel Las Vegas, bringing everything with them, from the tables and chairs to the silverware. In the first ever Dîner Blanc Las Vegas. Your challenge is to create a high-end dining experience with food that can be served as a picnic for all of our attendees.
Picnics, not my favorite word. Especially in this competition, because Dîner Blanc is quite a big deal. They are looking for the highest-end food you can make.
My favorite.
You'll each be preparing three dishes for 75 attendees. You'll have 4 hours today to pack up your picnics.
Tables are popping up, and you hear the clang of silverware and plates, and wine glasses are going down, and wine glasses are being filled, and it is absolutely mind-boggling. It's like everybody came from nowhere.
It's feeling very blanc.
Very blanc. It's kind of surreal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dîner Blanc, it's a pop-up dinner where people show up with everything from seating to linens to cutlery.
We got it.
Everyone's
move on.
It's not just a picnic where you can bring ice cream.
Am I right? Didn't they already tell us?
There's much more
hype.
They
did.
These are our gracious hosts.
What about cups? Did they bring cups?
And Sandy.
Yes. Nice to meet you. There's one guy.
These guys organize these dinner events all over the world. And we're lucky enough to have them in Vegas while we're here.
Yeah, it sounds a little dangerous.
Only French people could stop that.
I'm from Venezuela originally, but I come from Miami. I'm a Miamian.
75 people.
Slow down.
Restaurants. I have done television shows left and right. But the challenges that I have encountered in Top Chef Masters is one of the most difficult things that I have ever done in my life.
I'm rooting for Lorena.
Lorena, allow me to introduce your critics for today's challenge.
I'm going to have one of those Taco Bell things.
The editor-in-chief of Suburb Magazine. Yeah.
There's jalapeno in the booth.
Rum chocolate mousse.
It's stupid good.
I'd shoot her.
So a nice chicken sandwich.
You're freaking retarded.
But that's a 4-star sandwich.
Can you eat it like this?
Yes.
With it's a wonderful bologna sandwich.
Like this.
The most bologna I ever eat.
It's just way too sweet. The chicken's a little overcooked.
But the mango sparks it up a little bit with some acid.
It's very, very well seasoned.
Whoa, acid?
A bit heavy for a summer salad.
Lorena's played it a bit safe with this one. We should try it a bit harder. It's a chicken salad.
This is
Lorena
chicken of the sea
has shown
salad.
Us a perfectly cooked potato. It's smooth. The skin's still adheres.
It's this tuna. It's this chicken.
She covers it in this creamy quinoa sauce with a little bit of herbaceousness.
I love the presentation. It's perfect. It's very elegant.
The satisfaction that gives me that you guys are enjoying something that I made with so much love.
Oh, my God.
That's it. That's
slow down.
That's the sauce for the second one.
What did she say?
Tricky. I don't know.
It's very busy. Kiri's pesto salad. It's just got this beautiful, beautiful harmony of flavors. Fresh basil running through it. Beautiful garlic.
Kiri's really swinging for the fences on
harmony.
This chicken, right? He has smoky kielbasa, and then he's
smoking kielbasa.
Toasty.
This guy's competing with James Osland, isn't he?
I'm gonna go for it.
I agree.
Ooh.
I like that. I agree.
Top Chef Masters. I love Lorena Garcia.
Goodbye.
So what was that guy saying?
He has smoky kielbasa.
You know, James Oseland was, you know, he got one in there, like, oh, there's the creaminess running through it or whatever he said.
It's just got this beautiful, beautiful harmony of flavors.
Yeah, nothing too great. No great sound drops there, but...
I'm honestly shocked at who's left. I never would have picked that group.
The Asian lady, she was the one who got the boot at the end.
Yeah, I didn't expect that, but I didn't see it.
Basically, she had stale bread, and they just thought that was unforgiving. The bread was stale. Go home now.
Why didn't she check her bread?
I don't know. All I know is this, guys.
Picnics, not my favorite word.
No. That's not.
Urge to kill rising.
Yes, I agree. Oh, I love the Top Chef Masters. Top Chef Masters. Yes, Top Chef. I like the one where they did the battle, where it was like a boxing match where they cook versus each other. I thought that was cool. And then to do this one, I was like, God, who are these douchebags they're cooking for, you know? And that lady's like, oh, this is stupid good.
It's stupid good.
Yeah, it's funny.
You know what else is stupid good? My fist against your temple.
Urge to kill rising.
Exactly, Homer. I agree. Now, guys, let's talk about alphas. The last show we're going to talk about. Alphas. What'd you guys think of the kid's weird power, Jason, who made
Jan a... Jan and Jaina?
He can make a hive, you know, like hive mind.
Yeah.
Where everyone would just...
I have to admit I didn't see it.
You guys haven't watched this yet?
I haven't watched it yet. No. I'm sure Steven has.
Remember the episode of the guy in a coma?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that guy is awake now.
Oh, no.
Okay.
And he... I don't know if I want to spoil anything, or basically, I'll just tell
you this. Should we wait? Because I have 3 episodes to catch up on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I have been, I like dedicated myself to watching Top Chef, the Master Chef, the Hell's Kitchen. I had so many shows, I totally slacked.
Okay, well, I'll tell you this much. It's not really a spoiler. It just kind of reveals something about the episode, but it's not like, it's something they reveal in the opening scene.
Okay.
Where this kid, if he touches you, you basically are under his control.
Oh, shit.
And you do everything that he does.
So he's like Super Nina.
Basically, when he was at school, he was bullied. Apparently, it had something to do with his alpha power, where people were just repelled by him and they wanted to hurt him, which his life was living hell. And apparently, that's why he was in a coma. I don't know if it's self-induced, like he tried to kill himself. So,
sort of sounds like Paranorman there.
Yeah, so he wakes up and he likes this girl and he wants to talk to her, and her boyfriend's a dick. He's like, come with me, and he's going to beat him up. So he touches him on the arm, and next thing you see the girl, she's like, what did you do to Jason? Did you hurt him? And he goes, no, he's a pretty good guy. Come on, he wants to talk to you. And she's like, what? Yeah, come with me. And she goes out there, and like everyone from the school is standing there in a big group. And he's like, hi, Rebecca. And she's like, what the hell? And she's like, I'm kind of, I got to go. And he goes, wait. And he grabs her arm and she turns around. She's like, hi. And then all of a sudden she's like totally into him. So it's real creepy like that.
Ooh,
right?
That sounds good.
So later on, the doctor, Bishop, Dr. Bishop.
Dr. No, Rosen.
Dr. Rosen. Dr. Bishop. This Bishop. Is a fringe. But, I know why I said that. Dr. Bishop. This is a very fringe-like scene where he's in a lab trying to figure out. He's got 2 of the kids there, and he doesn't know what's wrong with them because they're just kind of like acting weird.
Okay.
So let's check this out.
Their neuroanatomies are unique, but their brain patterns are identical.
It's like impossible, right?
Usually brain patterns are like snowflakes, Kat. Everyone should be different. But when we compare the EEGs, we see many identical areas. Their minds working in some kind of synchronization.
But there's no indication in either of their MRIs of any alpha ability at all.
It looks as if they might have become an extension of Jason's.
Yeah, but at the hospital, Jason could only project his personality onto other alphas, and even there the effect was temporary.
Is everyone named Jason in this show?
Yeah, mine did after the photo stem. They're emitting an infrasonic field. I can hear it, but barely.
All right, Rachel, stick with me here. When Jason creates this, he activates somehow some sort of neural link through which he could possibly exercise a measure of synchronized control.
Like some kind of hive mind.
The medication seems to be sedating them, but not breaking Jason's neural link.
I can't get a hold of Jason's parents.
We have to keep trying. These kids could be in danger, and Jason's a disturbed young man.
Hey.
Poor boy has a lifelong history of being ostracized due to his ability.
The ampersand.
It induces feelings of discomfort and unease in people.
I didn't know you were around him
without even knowing why.
Well, he's not alone anymore, is he? Leave it to Paris to make the Borg a real thing. It's a Star Trek thing. Don't worry about it.
No, don't. It hurts. I'm going to have a shiner now. Bill, it's your fault that I got punched. I get to punch you now, Bill. It's my turn.
Gary, no one is going to punch anybody, okay?
Okay, so you guys have that to look forward to. I have to have one moment of Gary on every clip, okay?
I'm sorry that I wasn't able to watch it. I ran out of time.
It's okay. You have something to look forward to. It's pretty cool. I like where the story's going, and that Stanton Parrish guy gets fleshed out a little bit more.
Oh, cool.
Because I'm really not sure. Is he really that bad? Or...
Yeah, exactly. What is his goal here?
Yeah.
So, is he Magneto, or is he Professor X?
Exactly. All I know is this.
He has smoky kielbasa.
Yes, that's what you learn in this week's episode. He is Stanton Parrish, a smoky kielbasa.
Let's all go eat at his place.
It sounds delicious. Now, hey, Bill, you want to do some news?
Sure.
I know the show's gone on kind of long, so if you want
to... It's only 2.5 hours so far. That's not that long.
All right. So I just, you know, I didn't want to make you do more than you wanted to or anything like that.
Fine. I'm good. Let's do this shit.
So what do you guys think of the show so far?
This has been the most amazing experience, seriously.
Oh, wow. So
I quite frankly thought it was stupid good.
That's what I was thinking.
Oh.
It's stupid good.
So that is a compliment, right?
As horrible as it is, and that fucking laughing, that...
All I know is I feel like this about TV.
Bask in television's warm, glowing, warming glow.
I need to dig that episode out, because I think I have up to, like, season 10 of The Simpsons, and then I just stopped buying them.
That, when you watch that episode, it's like, this is the wheelhouse. This is the heyday of The Simpsons, when everything was funny. And then when I watch it, you know, you can watch that period of Simpsons, and you're really angry, and you're like...
Urge to kill. Fading. 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 Rising! Fading. Fading. Gone.
Oh, God. And then when it gets stuck on the Tony Awards, he's like,
urge to kill rising.
All right, Bill, let's do the news. Woo-hoo-hoo! Oh, baby's conked out. Worn out. Oh, and you know, one thing I wanted to say is thank you to everyone who wished my dad well when he was in the hospital. It was pretty crazy. It just, like, something I'd never dealt with before, which is my dad having health problems. Just my whole life, he's, you know, I haven't dealt with that. And it's shocking to all of a sudden see him in a hospital bed hooked up to the IV and the medication and everything. And it's really cool how everyone, you know, gives their support and stuff, like on Facebook. That's one thing that's good about Facebook, when everyone gives a bunch of support and everything like that.
Yeah, it actually, it means something.
Yeah. And I was really stressed out about it because I'd never seen my dad like that. And he's fully recuperated. And he's had, basically what happened is a tooth cracked. And the bacteria, when you have a bad tooth, it can leak into the bloodstream. And that's what happened. And his entire face swelled up. And it was closing his passageways where he breathed. So if he'd waited, a day to go into the hospital when he woke up with his face swollen, and he waited till later at night for it to get worse when he should have just gone right then. And, you know, hey, it happens. Sometimes we wait too long, but boy, did he pay for it waiting.
Oh, my gosh.
It took like 3 days of antibiotics intravenously before it started actually working. They're like,
And then at one point, whenever it did start working, they're like, well, we can shift to a lower dosage. And then they did that and it came back.
Yeah, they just needed to keep him on it. And then finally, it was like on a Thursday, I went up there and he had actually eaten solid food for the first time. And you could tell like his spirit shifted and he was like happy and positive, and he's doing a lot better. And he's had that damn tooth pulled now. So,
Oh, thank God.
So he's much better. Oh, and Bill, you know, did you hear the intro where I played Bottle of Rum?
Yes.
Yo, ho, ho, win a bottle of rum. When I was in playing Guild Wars 2, I was in a section where these NPCs were hanging around like by a river. They're just chilling there. And I was like, oh, here's a safe place to stop. I'm going to go pee. And when I came back to the computer, I heard this.
15 men on a dead man's chest, yo ho ho, and a bottle of rum.
The NPC was singing.
The devil had done for the rest.
And the one next to him.
And a bottle of rum.
The mate was fixed by the bosun's pike.
The bosun brained with a marlin spike.
And Cookie's throat
was like, what the hell? Like,
what's going on? Been gripped by fingers 10.
And there they lay, all good dead men.
Like break a day in a boozing can.
Yo ho ho, and a bottle of rum.
And then they're quiet again for like a long time, and then
that if you go past some like of the pubs and stuff, like you can hear them drunkenly singing things.
It's pretty awesome.
Like and, there was a quest where you had to escort a guy that was delivering mead to a pub, and once you got there, the guy was like, get the mead! And then they just started singing. It was hilarious. I love that game. It's
watched
funny.
A YouTube video where this guy followed a pirate. He was like, we must find the treasure! And you can follow the NPCs as they go, and they get attacked by pirates and stuff, and you fight them off, and they have a big barrel of mead, and the captain's like, get rid of that mead. We don't need that. We need to carry the treasure. So they dump it in the swamp, and the barrel stays there, and you go back and you get like XP and stuff. So the guy wandered on to another place with NPCs, and there was these Norns who were like, well, I haven't had any good ale in years. And this one of the little midget, what do you call those little tiny characters?
I don't know. They're very straight. They're not midgets. They're not dwarfs. They're like little strange creatures.
And they have this technology. So she wanted the Norns to protect her as she went on a science expedition. So you go and you follow them and you fight off things. Eventually, they wind up in the same spot where the pirate guy dumped the mead, and he's like, look what I found. He picks up the barrel, and it's the same barrel from before, and they bring it back, and they drink it, and they immediately pass out on the ground. But it was so cool how they tied those together, and you would never know if you just wouldn't sit still for a bit in the game and just watch what was going on. And the pirate captain sang the Modern Major General. He started singing that.
Oh, no way!
Yeah. It's like, I am the very model of a Modern Major General. And it's like, holy shit! And you just sat there and watched the whole thing. It's pretty cool. So there's a lot of.
I hope I come across that area soon. I'll just sit there and watch.
That sounds pretty cool. So, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
All right, Seminole, Florida, free as a breeze and just quick as one, a mystery streaker dashed across the football field at Seminole High School's homecoming. The fleet-footed runner was as fast as a jackrabbit, eluding police
Jason,
by jumping over
young man.
Two fences and dashing into a getaway car. Does anybody know whose buns these are? Let us know. The police are looking for him.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Who is this guy?
Jason.
No, it's not me. And it
makes me think of that old Ray Stevens song. I would listen to that 45 over and over again and just laugh. I thought it was the funniest thing ever.
Old Ray Stevens. Please tell me what the name of the song is.
It's the streak. Ray Stevens, The Streak. Look at that. Fast thing on 2 feet. Look at that. I would listen to it over and over and over again.
Man, I'm going to look on YouTube.
It was one of my favorite songs as a kid.
She acts for it medium well.
No.
What? All right.
Okay, Randy Dolphin is getting frisky with divers in the waters off the Cayman Islands.
Oh, yeah, some dolphin action.
Yeah, the dolphin's name is Stinky.
Oh.
And was filmed by an underwater videographer named Michael Mays. The video posted to Mays' YouTube page shows the lonesome dolphin circling and trying to ride Mays before turning to Mays' friends. Stinky rubs his body along the other diver's back before trying to roll him over.
Whoa.
It's a bit tricky.
So did he get any tail?
This is... This is going to be naive of me, but do dolphins have penises?
I guess so.
Was it a male dolphin?
They come out, you know, whenever they're ready to do their thing.
I've heard that dolphins do get really horny and they try to.
It happens, you know. We are just humans as a race are just so attractive.
Causes a level of stress.
Yeah, Mays said he posted the video, which started to go viral, to show the dangers of lone dolphins like Stinky, who are looking for a mate.
Dave, that's intense.
Remains a wild animal, and Stinky is in an awkward situation, which can turn him into a playful killing machine.
Stinky, you smell like shit.
Please be prudent, people, and get out of the water when you see him. Believe me, if he decides, you won't stand the slightest chance. Wow, that's really
so
quite a warning.
A dolphin will have its way with you, basically.
Yes, yeah.
Wow.
I think it's dangerous to, like, put this out there because maybe some crazy, like, pansexual types will go down looking for Stinky.
Like, oh, where's Stinky?
Bravo, Maestro.
He gets naked.
I'm going to do it.
Guy gets naked,
goes
in the water.
Oh, my God, Steve. You're admitting to us that you...
No.
You. Oh, okay.
You will now be known as...
No, a terrible joke. Somebody's going to go look for his blowhole.
Oh, no.
Thank you.
This is a bad habit. It's got to stop now.
You're right, Willie.
Investigators in Fort Collins, Colorado are looking for a man suspected of appearing at two separate homes telling residents he was sent by God to marry their daughters. The man first appeared at on a homeowner's couch on Spruce Lake.
Marry your daughter!
The homeowner reported after going to bed she heard someone saying hello in his living room. When questioned, the man told the homeowner that he had been sent by God to marry his daughter.
Yeah, you don't know. You don't even have a clue.
The man then left the home after being told to leave before appearing in a neighbor's driveway. The man gave the neighbor the same story, that he'd been sent by God to marry his daughter. The neighbor told the man he did not have a daughter. And again, the man left without incident when he was told to leave. Residents are reminded to keep their doors and windows locked to prevent intruders from walking into their homes.
God told me to marry you. Why would he do that to me?
I like that he's like, I'm going to marry the daughter. No. Like, wait, God told you to marry my daughter, but I don't have a daughter. Well, maybe you're supposed to have one. Let's make one.
Hopefully Mike will be pleased with her decision.
Bury it and take it to meet Stinky.
Stinky's my dolphin. Stinky barks some.
The man is described as white, 25 to 30, 5'8", 130 pounds, driving a newer silver Honda or Toyota.
Get that crack ass out of here.
He is suspected of trespassing.
And Jason's a disturbed young man.
Excuse me?
All right, Destin, Florida, great vacation destination. It's a beautiful place.
Mm-hmm.
A woman had been warned away from a Destin fast food restaurant in April. Was found on the property August 31st, highly intoxicated and jumping into the cars of people she didn't know.
Are you drunk?
Deputy was called to the Whataburger on Harbor Boulevard after a report of a very drunk woman getting into strangers' cars and refusing to leave. The deputy found the woman sitting in the car of a person who did not know her. She was arrested for trespassing.
I had a few cocktails.
Now, she needs to meet the man who wants to marry her daughter.
They're like, oh,
and they can both hang out with Stinky.
Stinky the dolphin.
Now this guy is the epitome of an asshole, but he is a clever, clever asshole. A video uploaded to YouTube on Tuesday shows a man paying for a $137 traffic ticket with 137 painstakingly folded origami pigs.
Asshole.
The man who goes by the apt YouTube moniker Bacon Moose explains his actions. He said, "I got this ticket in the town where the cops are pretty much a money trap, and that's it. I decided to pay in appropriate manner 137 origami pig $1 bills put in a pair of dozen Dunkin' Donut boxes."
Nice.
The $1 piggies took around 6 hours to prepare, but he says he believes it was well worth it. He paid in style.
Yes, as he made quite a statement.
The police station was not too happy at the box surprise. "What's that?" the cashier asked, nonplussed. "I'm going to take them like that. The way you folded it, I'm not going to sit here and unfold all that."
This is insane.
Awkward back and forth, the man finally asked by a police officer to unfold all the dollar bills. "It's pretty cool and it took a lot of time. Little piggies in a donut box. I got it, said the police officer.
"Are you kidding me? This guy's throwing mashed potatoes around."
And the police officer said, "You made me laugh. I'll give you mad props. You've made my day. I'll give you that."
Could you have said to the cop, "No, I'm not unfolding it"?
Exactly. I would have said, "You know what? You guys gave me the ticket. Here's your money. Bye."
"You're just digging a hole for yourself. You don't know when to shut up.
You're fired."
I hate places like that.
Until we come back with the commercial.
Those traps in those little towns where, like, it'll go from 45 to 35 in the blink of an eye, and they just sit there waiting.
You know, I support the local police, but sometimes you will run into a cop who's an asshole, who's having a bad day.
Yeah.
I'll always remember this for no reason. You know, one time I got pulled over, my car tags were out. I don't know if they have tags in Columbusville or in Ohio.
No, of course they do. You have to get it registered and renewed every year.
Yeah. And I got pulled over, which is fine. And the guy gave me a warning. "I'm going to give you a warning." No, actually, he didn't. He gave me a ticket.
Oh.
I'm remembering the story wrong. He gave me a ticket, and I was like, "All right." And he goes, "Hey, get your tags. Get this dismissed for $10. No big deal." And I'm like, "Okay, yeah, I'm motivated to get them." I drove a block. I got pulled over again. I was like, "Is that the same cop? What happened?" And the guy comes out. He goes, "Yeah, I couldn't help but notice your tags are out. Your registration's out." And I go, "Actually, I just got this ticket, officer." And he took it out of my hand. He looked at it, and he goes, "If I see you again, I'll give you another one." And he walked away kind of annoyed. I was like, "Dude, what the hell?
Was it the same cop?"
No, it was a different cop. It was like he was pissed that I already got a ticket.
So he was pissed that he couldn't give you a ticket for it.
Right. And he was like, "If I see you again, I'll give you another one." It's like, okay.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago, whenever I got my speeding ticket driving home from Pittsburgh, I was just like, you know, I just wanted to get home. It was to the point where I love my Hyundai, but their seats suck. Like, after 2 hours, my ass hurts. So I'm just kind of, like, impatient, squirming around in my seat, like, leaning towards the wheel, kind of resting my arms on it. You know, I just want to get home at this point. I'm finally in Ohio. I've only got about 40 minutes to go. You know, depending too much on my ways, this, like, social networking kind of GPS, like, I'm thinking, well, if there's a cop, somebody will report it. Apparently, nobody felt like reporting anything that day, or they just weren't using it. So I was just getting impatient, and I had my foot on the wheel, or on the tire, or Jesus Christ, a foot on the gas a little too much. I was going 83 in a 65. And I was like, I saw the guy from a half a mile away, and I immediately slowed down, pulled over into the slow lane, and was like, oh, man, that was close. And then he came up right behind me, and I was like, son of a bitch.
Jimmy got me.
Yeah, and I pulled over, and then I was expecting him to come to my door, but he came to the passenger side. I guess he didn't want to get hit. And he was like, you know why I stopped you? And I was like, yes, I was speeding. He's like, do you want to see how fast you're going? No, I know I was going over 80. Well, you were going 83. And I said, okay, fine. Here's my license. Here's my registration. And he only took me like 5 minutes, thank God. Normally, I remember my mom would get in fights with them, and it would take like an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't work.
She loved fighting with cops. Oh.
You know what? I get real ghetto, and I'm not fair. I will cut your ass.
Yeah, that was my mom. My mom, I don't know. I think she's mellowed in her later years, but she's so bad with cops. I hate speeding tickets. It was $140.
Wiping right now.
What?
What?
All right, and that's news for this week. I think I did.
All right, Bill. Well, thank you for doing the news this week. What do you say, Stephen? Huh? Stinky?
I said, watch out for Stinky.
You know it.
Maybe I do want to punch you a little bit.
Hey.
A little bit.
All right. What do you say we do some DVDs, Steven? You want to do some DVDs?
Let's do it.
All right. Woohoo! Ow!
Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs.
DVDs! DVDs!
HD Blu-ray standard definition! DVDs! Woohoo! The DVDs, everybody!
It got better there at the end, but you two were way off in the beginning.
It was Steven went too long with his let's do the DVDs part.
He got a little overzealous.
I knew I was going to wake baby up screaming.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I keep forgetting about her. When she calms down, I forget that she's there.
Yeah, she was sleeping, and now she's sitting in front of me.
Don't mind if I do!
I like the...
Did you guys see that in some theaters, because there's this screen vision, I guess they do different promotions in theaters. They're doing a Halloween where they're going to reshow John Carpenter's Halloween in select theaters.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, I thought that would be really cool, but there's nowhere around me doing it. It looks like in your area there's only one place in Dallas. The rest are in San Antonio.
Why
and
is
Houston.
It always in Dallas?
Yeah, the Texas Theater.
What the hell is that?
I don't even know where that's at.
Yeah, I don't know. Nowhere. There's one place in Ohio in Springdale, and I don't even know where the hell Springdale is.
That's where the Simpsons live.
I thought that was Springfield.
Oh.
No TV and no beer make Homer something something.
All right, DVDs for September 18th, 2 days before my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Early birthday.
Happy early birthday. Birthday, yeah.
Yeah, early birthday.
Family.
Oh, my God. Starting off with a film starring a girl who made her career pandering to people, The Babymakers with Olivia Munn.
Oh, she was on G4.
Yeah.
Yeah, the poor G4, it panders everybody.
Well, now it's going to be pandering to, like, jocks. So apparently they're dropping the tech aspect and just going for douchebags.
He needs help.
It like, sounds the like people, they don't know
the
what to do with that
people that you always
channel.
See posting on Facebook that they just completed the Tough Mudder or something, those are the people they're going after.
What's
now.
A Tough Mudder?
It's this stupid race. Well, it's not even a race. It's like an obstacle course that's absurd. It was like created by like Marines or something where you have to basically crawl through swamps and climb walls and shit like that. And then at the end, you get to drink beer.
Nice.
It's like it's machismo condensed.
Do you?
There's all these races like this now. Tough Mudder, Warrior Dash. It's like a whole thing now that
yeah, I've been seeing the Warrior Dash thing.
Yeah, it's this absurd like, hey, I'm gonna go play in the mud and be manly and then drink beer.
My name is Mud.
Yes. My name is Mud.
You know, don't ever sing that song. I hate Primus. But,
My name is Mud. It's always been.
Ugh.
That album really was freaking terrible.
Ugh.
One of us got a big brown beaver in.
Now, Siri, stop. Steven, tell him how much we hate Primus.
But Jason, the bass is so good.
Oh, it sucks. It's terrible.
I don't know how much we've heard that.
But you know,
but that's their go-to argument. The Primus argument is... Oh, that bass! Yeah, really?
You know, it's like this to the bass. But, the guy could play bass or whatever. I just thought their music was annoying.
It's annoying, yeah. It is annoying. It's terrible.
What I was going to say about Olivia Munn is at least she rose above G4 and she's got a career doing other things. Like, she's on that HBO show now.
She's actually trying. Yeah.
Because when you're on that channel and you're a girl, you know, like, oh, you know, it's like the Felicia Day thing. You're like, oh,
yeah, eye candy.
She's pretty and she's a geek. Or it's like, well, they make them kind of act like they're geeks. Yeah, they're probably not.
She has no clue about
like,
what's...
you know, I could just see like
the one girl really, really rose above it and was like, you know what? I don't need this. That what was her name? Allison something.
Allison
she ended up being on Battleground.
Yeah. Or like Olivia Munn, you know, they're like every week, you know, like one week it's like, hey, she's dressed in Princess Leia's slave outfit.
Yeah.
They just do all that. And
they had her. There was a GIF that circulated the internet forever. Her like, what is it? That Kevin Pereira adjusting her boobs, and then she was eating a hot dog, and
it's like
it's just like they
come on. They're just it's totally pandering to like 15-year-olds.
Yeah.
It's like, you're better than that. Don't do it.
No.
The Baby Maker stars quite a few Broken Lizard people, and it's actually directed by Jay Chandra Sekhar.
Right. I'm curious about it.
Yeah, I'll check it out. I just have a really hard time with Olivia Munn, but she wasn't bad in Magic Mike, so...
Yeah, I don't have a problem with her, and I'm honestly... Just stop with the having problems with people.
No, I got to keep doing it.
She was on G4, yes, but she's moved on. You can't hold that against her.
No, I'm not holding it against
people
her.
People
got
you know get a start somewhere. Do what?
I don't hold it against her. I just find her irritating. I don't like her comedic delivery.
Oh, okay.
And I don't. You know, I don't hate her.
There's one part of the trailer that cracked me up is when they're looking at his footage of his sperm, and there's only like. 5 of them, and they're swimming around, bumping into each other and stuff. Like he's got
retarded sperm.
Yeah, they're drunk, basically.
They're drunk.
So they have to break into a sperm bank to steal his sperm from when he was younger and more active and stuff.
Oh, that sounds ridiculous.
It does sound ridiculous, but if it's funny, you know.
I'll check
it out.
The winner
of this challenge is,
huh?
Jason.
Excellent.
Such a shame.
Hey.
All right, next Blu-ray is everyone's favorite old British people. in the best exotic Marigold Hotel.
Do what?
Let's see here. It's Maggie Smith, Judy Dench, Tom Wilkinson, and Bill Nye. So, I mean, come on.
I love Bill Nye, science guy.
No, the other one. Is it Nye? How do you pronounce his name?
Bill
Nye.
Nye?
Nye?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nye?
Nye! Nine!
Yeah, it sounds good.
So I hear that it's a good movie. That it's, you know, it's enjoyable.
Dude, that is not Tweed.
That's a great cast. I love all of them as actors. They're fantastic.
They're all English.
Yeah, and it's Dev Patel. Dev Patel's in it, playing an Indian person.
He's from because British. He doesn't speak English.
He's from British. Wow, that's genius. That is pure genius. All right, moving on. We have Beverly Hills Chihuahua 3, Viva La Fiesta on Blu-ray.
Oh, that sounds great.
Oh. It does. And next on Blu-ray, we have Black Sunday Remastered.
Is that the Bruce Dern movie?
No, this is the Mario Bava film. The Italian director. It's his... I guess you would you consider this Gialli? That, yeah, I bet it is, yeah. Kind of gothic horror European art kind of style.
Oh, I was thinking of the John Frankenheimer film.
No, this no.
Black Sunday, where Bruce Dern he wants to shoot this weapon over a Dallas Cowboys game in a blimp.
Yes,
that movie's trippy.
That's up there with those like what was that one movie with the roller coaster?
Roller coaster.
Was that what was that movie? It's a roller coaster. It's roller coaster.
Roller coaster. Oh. Where the guy puts bombs on roller coaster.
Yeah. There's a whole series of those in the 70s. They loved that shit.
When we lived in California, we had cable where it just showed one movie over and over and over again, like all day. And I remember Roller Coaster watching it a million times. Roller Coaster.
Yeah.
Jason.
Huh?
No, so Black Sunday's the 1960s Mario Bava film, and Mario Bava was known for bringing movies in under budget, and he was a pretty talented director. He did the last film ever covered on Mystery Science Theater 3000, Diabolique, or Danger Diabolique.
He did that. Okay, I know who he is now.
Yeah, he's kind of a trippy...
He does all of his effects in the camera.
Yeah. He's a really talented dude. Moving on, we have Cabin in the Woods on Blu-ray. Didn't really like it much, but I'll check it out again.
Cabin in the Woods on Blu-ray. That's the one that was written by Joss Whedon, right?
Yes, Joss Whedon.
My dad, that was one of his, you gotta see it. You gotta see it movies. So I'll check it out.
It's not bad. It just wasn't my bag.
Not my bag, baby.
I'm not a big horror film guy. So, like, when you have a film that kind of plays with the ideas of horror films, it doesn't really...
The horror.
...do anything for me.
Right. So that's what it is? It's, like, for, like, horror fans and their...
Yeah, exactly. It plays turns with the their... genre on its head and screws around with it.
Okay.
Top Chef Masters.
I'm more of an Evil Dead guy. Like, I'm not... I appreciate that sort of film a little more.
Yeah, horror that has fun and it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, like that's why I absolutely loved that Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was like in the essence of kind of the Evil Dead thing.
Yeah, I agree with you. I like that kind of horror. There was a point when I was younger and I. Friday the 13th movies or Halloween, I was into that and I liked it, like slasher movies. And all of a sudden something flipped and I wasn't into that anymore. And I liked the more kind of hilarious, kind of like funny type of horror.
I think it helps me deal with it because I'm not a really big like fan of feeling uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you blend the uncomfortableness with laughing, it makes it easier for me. I enjoy that more. I get more of kind of a rush from that. Because I'm just not a slasher guy. I don't like those sort of movies.
Right. I used to when I was younger.
I get to punch you now, Bill.
Excellent. Okay. Next on Blu-ray, we have Ed Wood. Love this freaking
causes
movie.
Causes a level of stress.
I think it's Tim Burton's best movie. I love
you
it.
You know what? Big I think fish. You're right. It's his one film that's kind of lacking that... like Edward Scissorhands always kind of felt rang a little false for me, a little
Edward
too saccharine.
Edward Scissorhands. I have a problem with Edward Scissorhands. I hate when it gets all serious and he kills Anthony Michael Hall. I hate that part of the movie. Don't you?
Yeah.
And I'm like, why did this happen? Come on.
It gets all serious, and then like the flashback with Vincent Price, and it's a little too tragic.
I liked it all up until it gets tragic, and I'm like, dude, what the hell happened to this movie, you know?
Yeah, so I'm not a real big fan of it, but Ed Wood, the whole idea of seeing this madcap lunacy and then this strange world that he was a part of, and just, I mean, come on, Bill Murray was so good, and even mm-hmm. The guy that was arrested later for being like a pedo, what the hell was his name?
Jeffrey Jones,
yeah.
He was the amazing somebody. What was that? He was the...
He owns the film.
Yeah, he was like the mind reader guy.
Yeah.
But there's a great part where Bella is there and he meets them and they're ordering and they go, Bella, you want some wine? And he goes, I do not drink wine. And they're all like, yay. Because, you know, he's doing the line from Dracula. I love that part.
Yeah.
I love it.
Such a great movie. And then just, and I love seeing it, like, later on, I came to, like, the Ed Wood's films through this film. Mm-hmm. Like, I went back and watched his films, like Glenn or Glenda, Bride of the Monster, all that. Oh, he was the amazing Criswell, was Jeffrey Jones.
Yeah, the amazing Criswell, yeah.
Yeah, and it just, I can't, there's such a love to it. Like,
and
you can tell.
Johnny Depp is so good in it, too.
Yeah, he really
was. But
I love
when he's like, Orson Welles and me.
I mean, who hasn't, my dad and I, anytime a line comes up, that we recognize from, like, that we could use from the film, like, Karloff? Sidekick?
Yeah.
Fjord! Karloff doesn't deserve to smell my shit!
Yeah, I love it. It's a great movie.
And didn't Landau win an Oscar for that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just such a great movie. And it's like, again, this is a movie where it's sadness. The whole idea of, like, of Bela Lugosi in his last days and then actually passing away and then the Ed Wood having to do this shot leaving the house and all that. The sadness was punctuated by just the absolute nuttiness
right.
of the entire scene. Just a great movie. I love this movie. I'll definitely be picking it up on Blu-ray. I wonder if it'll be any different from the DVD, because I think the DVD, I bought it the day it came out, and they ended up recalling it, and I think removing Tim Burton's commentary.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember when the DVD, when it was first supposed to come out, it got delayed all of a sudden.
Yeah, well, no, they released it, and then they recalled it.
Yeah, did he talk shit about Warner Brothers or something?
The DVD edition of Ed Wood initially had difficulty reaching store shelves due to an unspecified legal reason. The initial release had a featurette on transvestites not relating to the film or actors in any way, which was removed for subsequent releases. Well, maybe that's what it was.
What the heck is he wearing?
Like 10 years ago, so I'm a little foggy on it.
I think I have that version.
Yeah, that's the version I have.
It's probably something that no one would even notice, too.
And then they redid it. And released it in 2004, so. Delay from its initial release, so that's. I always thought that was a little strange. Alright, moving on, we have Let's hear Halloween 2, the Collector's Edition on Blu-ray. Halloween 3, Season of the Witch on Blu-ray.
I want that Halloween 2 Collector's Edition. I actually saw Halloween 2 about 8 times in the theater until my mom told me I wasn't allowed to see it anymore. She thought I was...
Coming Michael Myers?
Yeah.
And Jason's a disturbed young man.
And I, you know, major props to Shout Factory. They actually started up another arm called Scream Factory, where they're concentrating on restoring a bunch of these, like, classic 80s horror films. So I would love to work for Shout Factory. That has to be, like, one of the funnest places in the world to work, to, like, work on finding old TV shows and old movies and getting them out there for people to enjoy again.
I like that. Scream Factory.
Moving on, we have Indiana Jones, The Complete Adventures on Blu-ray.
The TV show?
No, the films.
Oh, okay.
This is why Raiders of the Lost Ark has been in IMAX for the past
crazy. Years.
Nice.
So they've all been remastered. I would buy this, but I really don't want Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I would rather buy them separately.
Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. You know what? I've been actually... What is it? USA Network or Sci-Fi airs all the Indiana Jones over and over again.
Right, yes. Because every time I go into my dad's room, one of them is on. Like, I think I went in... I would go in his room, and then it was Anything Goes from the opening of Temple of Doom over and over and over again. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, Sci-Fi will show them also, like, on a Saturday or something. It's really funny how they just keep showing them. So I've watched them plenty of times. I don't need to own this.
Yeah.
Commercial breaks and stuff.
I honestly don't... I don't know if I... I would buy them separately. You know, I really would. But as a set, I don't know if I want to shell out, you know... $70.
Yeah, I definitely would want all three of the movies.
Temple of Doom, Last Crusade.
Yeah, but Junior. Dad. It's like,
at least with Fox, whenever they release the Die Hard films, you could buy them separately. Like, you didn't have to buy that set. So, you know, I bought 1, 2, and with a vengeance. But that's it.
Well, well, Indiana Jones, you're looking nice.
Oh, no. Please don't rape him. Next Blu-ray, we have Stallone's god-awful Judge Dredd.
Man, I love that. They're releasing it now. Hey, maybe people... Hey, that must be the one that's in the movie theaters. It's already on video. Right. I'm going to check it out. Hey, you know what? I know... Let's put Fred Schneider in this movie.
Fred Schneider? You mean Rob Schneider?
Back a little more.
No, the guy from
the B-52s. Dredd.
Yes, he was great in that. It's a real manic thrill.
Absolutely.
Judge Dredd got a bike as big as a whale, and it's about to set sail.
Tin roof. Yeah. Exactly. Rob Schneider, Deuce Bigelow.
I want to see Fred Schneider in Judge Dredd.
Now, let me ask you guys this. I saw Judge Dredd in the theater. What is wrong with this film?
Everything.
What's right with it?
Yeah, I mean, what's right with it? Max von Sydow. What's right with it.
When you watch it, you're like, okay, I can tell they spent $100 million on this movie.
God, yeah.
The production values might even work had they gotten a Judge Dredd, but instead they got Stallone. You know, well, that part, it's so painful when he goes, "I am the law!" And it's just like, ugh, doesn't work.
And
it's like
Mondo
you knew
Sante
it from the first moment
terrible.
In the movie where he talks, you knew he didn't work as Judge Dredd.
Yeah, it's... Everything about this movie is just bad, honestly.
Yeah.
Who was it that Danny Cannon directed it?
Yeah.
What did he ever go on to do again?
Danny Cannon makes his money
TV.
He does CSI now. He's like a producer of like CSI and shit. And
Nikita also. He's executive producer of Nikita.
Yep. So he's a TV guy. A lot of people who did movies and stuff in the 90s and stuff, they're
he
all
did
in
the, the pilot did Alcatraz.
Yeah, they all do TV now.
Hmm.
It's awesome.
Jason, go ahead and pick your card.
At least he's getting money. It looked like there was quite a drought there for him for a while.
Mm-hmm.
After I Know What You Did Last Summer, it was a good couple of years before he got CSI Miami.
It's a bit of a mess.
Okay, moving on from Indiana Jones, we have...
What do we have?
Oh, okay, here's one.
Like that one? Didn't like
the
that.
Victim. This is the Michael Biehn movie.
You're going to be my murder victim.
Oh, oh my God.
Terrible.
It's scary.
But didn't Michael Biehn write and direct this turd?
I think so. Turd?
Sorry.
Is it bad?
I haven't heard much good about it.
You've been dicking me around since we started this turd hunt.
I know he cast his wife.
Yeah, yeah. It's his own grindhouse flick.
Yeah. Well, at least he's upfront at calling it a grindhouse flick.
Yeah.
And the young girl that used to... Didn't she used to be in the Halloween movies?
Yeah, Danielle Harris.
Yeah, Danielle Harris, yeah.
And she was also... Joe Hollenbeck's daughter in Last Boy Scout.
Yes, she was. And this is getting a 25% on the tomato meter.
Hmm.
Dreadfully paced, shoddy acting, punishing degrees of talky, lengthy, predictable scenes. Ouch.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
Wow. Junky, hard to watch thriller.
That's not a good advertisement for it.
Yeah. Meandering. Mediocrity. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he tried to direct, so...
Well, you know what? Him.
Yeah,
keep
good
at
for
it.
Him.
Maybe you'll get better.
If you don't want to work here, you can leave now.
Huh?
And that's DVDs and Blu-rays for this week.
All right, Bill. Thank you for doing the DVDs this week. Huh? DVDs!
As the great maestro Antonio Vivaldi, you have captured all four seasons in one stroke.
Thank you! Good night!
Oh, wow. That's quite a compliment,
Bill.
Here,
I'll try the veal.
He sounded like the guy from,
Well, that's kind of what this night is. It is entertainment. We put on a show.
Yes, that's right.
that clip of the guy from MasterChef sounds like James Lipton in Inside the Actor's Studio. That I'm going to ask you this question about my idol Bernard Pivot.
Bravo, maestro.
What is your favorite curse word?
James Lipton? He doesn't sound anything like that.
I know.
He's like, what is your favorite?
As the great maestro Antonio Vivaldi, you have captured all four seasons in one stroke.
Oh, I just caught it. A Vivaldi reference. The four... Oh, jeez, you're a douchebag, Joe.
I love Joe. He's awesome.
Joe's
hilarious.
He will
now be known as Sharkbait.
Okay. All right, everyone. That was episode 263 of the Nowhere Mulberry Show. Thank you for listening. Go to nowheremulberry.com. You can find a link to our NIM fan club. Bill, can we just say the forum is dead now? We can look
forward
to...
Yeah, after Swiley posted, that was it. It was like nothing.
Yeah. One post on our show. It's insulting, I tell you.
Like I said, when it comes up for renewal, I'll just go to a free one, and I don't think I'm going to be able to import any of the stuff, so I'm going to have to, like, take screenshots of Swiley's feedback to save it.
What kind of system do they use for that?
I haven't looked. I haven't updated it. Look.
Oh, it's a Unix system, Bill.
Oh, it is.
No.
You didn't say the magic word.
I hate this hacker crap. You know, whenever I watch Jurassic Park, I'm like, why did he have to leave? Why couldn't he just stolen the stuff and then waited the next day and then taken the dinosaur? Oh, never mind. So anyway.
There would be a movie.
Send an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com, or you can send us a voicemail at 1206-202-1298. It'd be awesome. Follow us all on Twitter and join the NIM fan club. It'll be sweet. All right,
guys. That's most of our activity now. Join it. We have fun.
The Ring of Fire!
Ah!
Okay,
that's enough Facebook.
He has smoky kielbasa.
Yeah! That's what I'm eating for dinner tonight. What about you?
Me?
No.
It's just got this beautiful, beautiful harmony of flavors.
That's what I'm going for, the harmony of flavors.
Have you ever read...
Best item at the Chinese restaurant.
What is James Olsland? What magazine is it?
Savoir. Savoir.
Have you ever read that?
Hell no. But I would love to just to know how he writes it. If he writes like he talks.
Extension of Jason's.
Huh? Oh,
I would subscribe to the magazine if I could get every review he writes read by him.
I got to see that. All right, guys, that's the show. It's a long one. Hope you enjoyed it.
I don't think I need a therapist. Do you?
Somebody asked for a long show for a plane ride, so you got it.
Yeah, there you go. Boom, you got it. All right, Bill, Steven, see you guys next time.
See ya.
See ya.
Later days, guys. Woohoo! Hey, Heather and Emma are here. You guys say bye.
Bye.
Leaders.
You can't just walk away. Where are you going?
Jason's a disturbed young man.
Now this is podcasting.
Urge to kill. Fading. Fading. Fading.
Rising?
Fading. Fading. Gone.